Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again. It's time to get the show on the road, get blowing, because we have nothing else to do, and it is time to get busy. Folks, don't forget to visit us at Facebook.com. Actually, not at Facebook.com, but at Facebook.com/NDB Media. Hell, you can even find Sports Talk with the Guys right there, too. And there might be in the works an NDB Media 2 Facebook page. Yeah, I've been thinking about it forever. That doesn't mean it's going to get done, but it just might be. Check us out on Twitter.com, NDB Media, or NDB Sports. And, of course, you can head on over to NDBmedia.net and .com. Yes, as you know, we got the .com back. They wanted $1,400 from us. Whatever. All we had to do was wait them out. That's what we're good at. So, folks, and unfortunately, we're not any good at making iTunes work. I was up at 3:30 this morning. I opened iTunes 1 hour ahead. And the worthless, stupid rat bastard still doesn't work. Unbelievable. So, while we have a hiccup in our connection, we ask you to bear with us right now. I doubt it's the internet connection that's doing it. But we'll go ahead and give them a slide on this one. Oh, my goodness, folks. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. As you saw the announcement on the Facebook page when it was working, we're going to be talking about Adrian Peterson, the new NFL drug policy. Hell, the newest resident drug user in Major League Baseball, Chris Davis. We might even have some WNBA news. It may be final. It may be over. And no one noticed. Danny Ferry. Wow. Way to go, Danny. Where's your assistant that should have read through the notes? And then you idiots were on conference call. Where is your assistant? You know, even... forget it. Anyway, you're in trouble, dude. Mayweather versus Maidana, that's going to happen tonight. We have all the information on the undercards. Yeah, we actually prepped this week. So, folks, now that everything is working, we're going to make sure to get it going and make it happen. I got to tell you, folks, it's an exciting, exciting day with lots to go over. And, no, I don't have his intro because the stupid damn thing doesn't want to work. So, I ask you to bear with us as I'm going to steal one. Screw it. We're going to do it.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Yes, good morning, folks. It is the Big Dog. How are you this morning, Big Dog? What's going on in the land of the Big Dog? Big Dog, you there? We're live.
Yeah, I know. I'm here. That was just a nod to Saul. You know, I thought I'd give that dramatic pause and drive you crazy, or, you know, starting it early.
A nod. Song. Wow, just how sweet of you to get this game going this early. Wow, Big Dog. I guess you miss Saul a lot more than I do, apparently.
How are you doing?
So what's going on, Big Dog? What's happening in the world of Big Dog?
I'm tired from my move.
Yeah, I bet. When did you finish? Like, yesterday?
What was yesterday? Yesterday was Friday. No, Thursday. I finished Thursday. But it was interesting because I had started work. I had to work on Wednesday night, and I left the apartment at 7 at night, and I put in a 17-hour day, came back to the apartment to change, and then loaded up and then got the U-Haul and went to the storage unit and then brought all the big stuff. And unloaded, so, and then had to work again on yesterday, Friday, which was about another 12-hour day. So I'm just a little tired.
Sounds like it. Wow, dude. Well, I'm glad you're done. You in your new place now? Are you out there in the carport? You out in your vehicle? Where are you at right now?
I'm in the apartment. I'm in my old computer desk, which I brought from the storage unit, And I'm all set up in the little corner, and my daughter's asleep. My daughter's already asleep, still asleep. So she wakes up, oh, well.
Well, that's a good thing that they're off in dreamland, and the big dog won't be making too much noise. Folks, we're going to get serious right here. A lot, as I mentioned, a lot of stuff is going on. I covered from Matt Alvarez yesterday on this program, so I already spent quite a bit of time on the Ray Rice issue. And long before anyone noticed it, again, the scorekeeper was way ahead of everyone. We sent out the tweet immediately following the allegedly second suspension of Ray Rice. Folks, I know you guys don't give a flying F, but I'm right, and you know what? I'm always right. And here's another reason why the scorekeeper is right, and even the almighty mothership, as the big dog loves to say, didn't even get it right. Folks, there are laws in the United States of America, and we still hold them true. And one of them is presumption of innocence, and we'll get to Mr. Hardy shortly. But as far as Ray Rice, Mr. Goodell, my tocayo, Royer Goodell, dude, you already interviewed him. You had her in there, too. You had both of them. And Ray Rice and the witnesses told you he knocked her out. Done. Over. She admitted to it insofar as to say, yeah, I was unconscious. So there, A plus B equals C. It's done, Goodell. And now you're telling us that it was ambiguous? Hey, look, dude, I know. Rogers love to use big words. We do when we want to control the situation. But I know what ambiguous means. And ambiguous means if the big dog tells me that he loves his dog, and then his daughter is listening, and she says, I don't understand who or what he meant. That's ambiguous. When you don't understand, think of it as a broken or a non-completed cell phone call. There's static. You can't hear it. It's ambiguous. Ambiguous is when you are not forthcoming. Ambiguous is when you don't understand. And based on ambiguous, yes, I put the emphasis a la Kirk. You suspended him? You just told everyone it wasn't clear, Roger Goodell, and yet you still suspended him? You know, under the law, labor contracts, you can't suspend a player for that. You can't. It's done. Goodell, you effed up big time. And further, immediately when you decided to suspend him indefinitely and the league decided to cut him, well, folks, I think there is a egregious major labor law violation. You already suspended him. You can't come back after the fact and say, Ray, dude, the deal that we made with you, man, I know because you're a star player. You're one of the top 25 in the entire NFL. But this has got to go away now because, they let the video go out. You know, the one that the cops wouldn't give us. You know, the one that the cops wouldn't give us. Hey, everyone listening, the cops didn't give us the video. Oh, by the way, hey, the cops didn't give us the video. And so that all of you don't understand, you need to understand that the cops didn't give us the video. Oh, hold on, wait a minute. We didn't get the video from the cops. Is that ambiguous for you guys? Wait, hold on a minute. We didn't get the video from the cops. Oh, wait, hold on. They did not provide the video for the cops did not provide the video. Roger Goodell, you went on slamming the cops ad infinitum, ad absurdum, and the cops said, screw you, Goodell, it wasn't us. They went to the AP and said, why don't you listen? Here is a copy of the email and the delivery slip and the voicemail message that the NFL got the video. Goodell, you slammed the wrong people and they got tired of it. And then the people who were there with Ray Rice, and Ray Rice included, said, we told you I slugged her and knocked her out. Wow. What do you think, big dog? Is the scorekeeper a little going mad on this one, or is he right again?
You're right as far as I guess labor law would be concerned. But as far as him being suspended indefinitely, I have no problem with it. I think he should, that should have been done the very first time. Yes, Goodell screwed up. And I think what, as far as whenever he got the video, whether it was when he says it was, whether it was when the police said it was, whatever it was, is they seen the video and they might have been under the assumption of the place is going to close down, which it already has. It's a closed hotel now, and maybe they figured all this stuff is going to go away, everything's going to be destroyed, we can get away with whatever we're saying. Well, just like you said, he put the blame one too many times on the wrong people, and they were like, no, this is what happened. Here's a delivery. Here's proof that we sent it. You guys are the ones that are lying. So he's under the microscope now, and if the way the way he said that everybody needs to take not credit, but own up to everything that they've done, he needs to do the same thing. And you know what? Since he screwed up, he needs to step down. You know, if he's going to hold Ray Rice to a double suspension the way he's done, and you're right, you know, it's like double jeopardy in essence, Goodell and whoever else is involved in this needs to go away also. And the NFL bureaucracy, they're all under the gun right now. They're all under the microscope, and some heads are going to roll. And Goodell's doing everything he can to make sure it's not going to be his head that's going to roll. But he's in deep, so you know if he's going to hold everyone else to this, then he needs to be put up to the exact same standards as everyone else.
Folks, for those of you that didn't see it, check out Keith Olbermann this week when he mocked and ridiculed NFL security. Remember when they got the video for the coach, Belichick, when he did what he did? NFL security swooped in and got the video there. They also swooped in and got the video about the bounty gate. NFL security is next to the Nazi stormtroopers, apparently one of the best heavy-handed items out there. And yet they couldn't get a video from a hotel? Oh, my God. You guys need to listen to Keith Olbermann, who is my hero. But once again, folks, as I bring our guest on right now, you need to see it, what I've emphasized all week. I am no fan of Ray Rice. None whatsoever. And the fans that had his jerseys on Thursday, whatever. Oh, and Jim Hill from CBS Los Angeles, you called fans fickle? Jim Hill, I'm calling you out for being stupid, for not knowing what to say, and for, of being stupid. Jim Hill, take a stand. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. How have you survived in the sports landscape in Los Angeles? Oh, that's right, because it's not an obviously up-and-down case. Jim Hill, get the hell out of here. You're worthless. I met you outside Anaheim Stadium one time. I respected you. You were tall. But, dude, shut up. Shut up when you have nothing to say. Get out. You can't play. You're like Dick Cheney. Don't even talk about foreign affairs. You had your stance. Now get out. Ladies and gentlemen, I am no Ray Rice fan. But under the law, under labor law, I believe there is a major violation here. He's already been suspended, and he has to pay the price. And when you come after the fact with new evidence, I know that as a Skelly hearing rule. Once you present your evidence and once you take your punishment, that's it. You're done. You can't come back and revisit it. For them to go ahead and now suspend him indefinitely and cut him, folks, I immediately sent a tweet to Ray Rice. You can see it on the NBC Sports. No, on the Roger D. Noriega Twitter feed. Hey, Ray Rice, dude, you better consult a labor attorney now. Because this is going to blow up big time in the NFL. There are rules against this, folks. Ray Rice is no different from me, Big Dog, or Brian. We are employees, and we are protected. Right
I have a question.
Let me bring him on. Hold on, Big Dog. Let me bring him on right now.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Good morning to Brian, the Southern gentleman from Southeast America. Thanks for joining us early. I know college game day is about to get going. Brian, you're in. Good morning, brother. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good.
We're all right, Brian.
Guys,
what's up?
Guys, the thing is, and Roger, I think you're 100% right. I want to agree with you. It would be different if this new video came out and Ray Rice said, hey, all I did was push her up against the wall, and that's what it is. Okay, you get a 2-game suspension. This comes out, and you kick him out of the league. But that video is exactly the way I pictured it, minus the spitting on the poor lady.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was still, I mean, he knocked her out. He said he knocked her out. Everybody said he knocked her out. But now he's suspended indefinitely. He should have been like Big Dog said. Exactly. You guys taking all of my thoughts away from me, but you're exactly right. He should have been suspended at least for a year right off the bat. And then Hardy sitting over here with a 911 call. Why in the hell is he still in a Carolina uniform right now? I just don't get it.
Hey, folks, I want to comment. Matt Alvarez is also in the chat room. Thanks, Matt. It was a pleasure subbing for you yesterday because that's all I did. I covered for you while you were out. But Matt joined us 30 minutes into the program, and we were talking about this. And, folks, I did talk about this for about 20 minutes about the whole Ray Rice issue. And, look, again, I have to reiterate, I am not a Ray Rice fan. But if they can do this to Ray Rice, whatever decision they made, and then just change it, we're all screwed. And I'm not saying that Brian is going to belt his woman, nor am I saying that I'm going to belt my woman so I'm going to be okay. And nor am I going to say the same thing about the big dog, okay? I mean, seriously, folks, there are rules and they need to be followed. And the NFL, oh, I love it so. Brian, isn't this awesome seeing Goodell go,
I knew he was lying the other day. I knew he was lying. I knew he was lying on CBS the other day. And the fact that he told New Orleans coach, if I'm sorry, you're accountable. You should know what's going on in your organization. Well, Goodell, what in the hell is going on in your organization? That's what I want to know.
Oh, Big Dog, I know you wanted to say something just a moment ago, but wasn't that great? He did tell New Orleans, you need to know what's going on. Truman, the buck stops here. But I guess in your case, Goodell, the BS stops over there. Go ahead, Big Dog.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, Goodell's right now in damage control, and he's going to make sure someone's head rolls in the offices. He's just, like I said, he's trying to make sure it's not his own head. Now, like I said, I agree with what you're saying about labor law. I think Baltimore had every right, you know, after the video came out, even though he had said he had done this, after everybody saw the video evidence of it, I think it was okay that Baltimore said, you know what, we're just going to terminate your contract. As far as him getting suspended again, I agree that part wasn't, you know, you know he was given his sentence. So he served his sentence or was going to finish serving his sentence, and it should have been done with. Yes, it should have been, as Brian said, he should have gotten at least a year. But Goodell, in his stupidity, gave him the 2 games. But I think Baltimore had every right to release him because, as you said, he is an employee. And you can kind of, I mean, you go into the moralities clause for the reason why they let him go, which they had every right to. So that part I have no problem with. The double suspension, you're right. That part, you know, they are covered, they are protected under labor law. So he does have a case there. But against Baltimore, I don't think he really has a case.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate that, Big Dog. I'm going to hedge on that for a moment because we have spent a lot of time on this, and I don't want to go ahead and repeat and reiterate. I appreciate what you guys have said. Everyone knows how I feel on this. Folks, it is a bad situation, but I love it so, because if it wasn't for these idiots, these criminals, these morons, we wouldn't have something to talk about. But, guys, let me reiterate something, not against you, my compatriots here, or Matt. Let me reiterate something that I said on Friday's program. In California, folks, oh, and Brian may know the law out there in Georgia, but I know the Big Dog knows this law as well as I do. In California, folks, the definition of battery is this. You cannot touch a person. If you touch a person without their permission, you have committed battery. done. Period. It's over. It is battery. That means if you bump into someone, unfortunately, it's battery. If you slap someone, it's battery. If you knock someone out, it's battery. There's no difference. It's battery. So when you look at Ray Rice and he tells you, Commissioner, I knocked her out, there's no ambiguity there. He just committed battery. He broke the law, Roger Goodell, and you don't need a video. There is no ambiguity. Nice try using the big word, Roger Goodell. When the player tells you he hit, punched, struck his fiance, he broke the law. It shouldn't have been two games from the very beginning. It should have been a lot more. Whether it should have been the entire season, six games, whatever. The point is battery, Roger Goodell, and you are awesome when it comes to definitions. Why do I know this? Because Rogers are awesome when it comes to definitions. Dude, I'm going to love to see you fry. Yes, Matt, if you choke someone, that's also battery. Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
Tell us people about that.
Big dog?
No, I say, yeah, about when Matt said about choking someone, I said, yeah, ask Latrell Sprewell or PJ Colosimo about it. They can tell you.
Wow, yes. Now, folks, we're going to go. Ken Hardy is not suspended, is not anything, because there is, and I'm going to go to Brian on this one, there is in America a presumption of innocence. We do have the 911 call. But, ladies and gentlemen, the whole thing with Ray Rice, the whole thing with Ken Hardy, and we're going to get to it, Adrian Peterson, in a moment. We do live in America, and it's no accident that these players are black. We need to be very careful about that in the blogosphere, in the real world, about rushing to judgment. They are deserving of the system. If we have a 911 call in the case of Ken Hardy, Brian, you need to enlighten me on that because I know this guy is playing. And if I'm not mistaken, he plays for the 49ers, right?
No, he plays for the Panthers.
He plays for the Panthers. I apologize. Well, there's a player for the 49ers that is also having some issues, and the owner of the 49ers said, hey, we're going to let the courts run its course. So tell me about Ken Hardy. I don't know very much about him. Oh, and folks, here's another thing. I also did this on Matt's program. In the last year, some 80 players in the NFL have been either charged or involved in domestic disputes. Holy crap! That's a lot. And when you look at the NFL population of roughly 1,500, that's anywhere from 4 to 8%. Go with me on Friday, and you can see how I worked out the math. That's 4 to 8%. I don't know of 4 to 8% in the Major League Baseball, basketball, hockey, rugby, hi-a-li. I don't know of any of that stuff. There's no 4 to 8%. But in the NFL, it is unbelievable. And very few of these players are being charged by the NFL. Brian, tell me what's going on with Hardy.
Well, he actually appealed his suspension or his punishment, and he's playing. And what concerns me is Carolina's allowing him to play. When I look at them, I don't look at the NFL. I look at the organization. Carolina should sit him down and not let him play until this investigation is over. I mean, a lady calls 911 and is screaming in a panic that you better get here. He's beating the shit out of her, kicking her ass and things like that. I mean, it's not something you take lightly.
Now, Brian, is this the lady that is being attacked, or was she witnessing it? Because I believe I heard that one then.
Witnessed it.
Where she was calling the 911 operator.
Yeah, she witnessed it.
And she used the word, he is beating her ass. And she used it numerous times in the 911 call. And the operator seemed a bit dismissive, by the way, folks. You need to listen to it. The 911 operator didn't really give a damn, but I'm going to let that one go for now. You guys need to listen to it. And the NFL has this audio tape, right?
I think so. Goodell has everything.
So what was the suspension going to be?
I am not 100% sure, but I think it may be, you know, six games or no. I mean, that happened before this policy came. It may have been two games like our boy in Baltimore, but I'm not sure, Roger.
Okay, fair enough, Ryan. And I didn't mean to put you in a corner on that one. Big Dog, are you familiar with the situation with Mr. Hardy? Because I did hear the audio tape yesterday, and it is chilling. I didn't read it. I heard it. And the lady says, I don't know, Brian, is it like four, five times? You need to get here now. He is beating her ass.
Yep.
And she used swear words. Big Dog.
No, I wasn't. I'm not real familiar with it. I'm reading about it right now. And it doesn't say how long the original suspension was going to be. But, you know, if you're right. I mean, this stuff is getting out of hand. And I believe Brian is right that it was before the new policy took place. So I think it was only going to be two games also, but I'm not positive either on that. And the article doesn't say whether he was suspended or not suspended, just that the NFL and the Panthers are waiting to see what I guess what the police are going to be doing, and then they're going to decide what to do with him afterwards. So in the meantime, in essence, they're saying, you know, like you said, presumption of innocence, that he's innocent until proven guilty, and they're going to take that stance. So even if they have the tape of the audio, they're still taking the stance of he's innocent until proven guilty.
So there you go, folks. Yet another situation. But there's between 50 and 80 NFL players that are involved in or have been charged some sort of domestic dispute in the last year. Yes, they dog.
I was just going to say, it says here that this case that they're talking about, you know, about him with the phone, with the 911 call and everything, it says that it will not be heard until 2015 at the earliest because the cases are backloaded so badly. So this won't even come to court till next year. So he's going to play the entire season, and then they'll figure out what to do with him, I guess, after it happens.
Actually, Big Dog, it is so backed up that he's going to play this whole season and the entire next season before it's even heard.
Uh-huh. It says here he was found – whoa, wait a minute. Okay, let me read you the start of this article. It says, the Carolina Panthers have no change in their stance, saying they will continue to let defensive end Greg Hardy play while the legal system handles a domestic violence case. The 2013 Pro Bowl selection player was found guilty in July by Mecklenburg County judge of assaulting and threatening ex-girlfriend Nicole Holder. He appealed the verdict, and the jury trial has been set for November 17th. So he was already found guilty in the courts, but because he's appealing it, the NFL is taking a stance of, okay, we're going to see if the appeal goes through or not, if he's successful with the appeal. So he has already been found guilty in the eyes of the court.
Whoa, this changes everything, folks. Wait a minute, Big Dog, Brian, he's been found guilty already?
I thought a judge actually found him guilty, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So does Ray Rice has come out as, it's like you forget about everything else, and you know, Hardy and McDonald at 49ers or whoever, they're really benefiting from Ray Rice getting all the media attention because they're in trouble as well. So I forgot all about that.
Yeah, and it goes on to say, it says, under North Carolina law involving defendants convicted of a misdemeanor, the jury trial will take place as if no previous trial had taken place.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Is this a misdemeanor charge then?
Yes.
And he's appealing it? Well, you know what? You appeal it. you got the money, you got to go all the way. But he's been found guilty already. Wow, that changes everything as far as I'm concerned. Hey,
well,
you know what?
That's why he shouldn't be playing, right? I don't think if you're Carolina, you have to do the right thing. You're guilty. You can do what you want, but you're not playing until this ruling is final, until your appeal comes through because you were found guilty. So,
see, but here's the thing.
I don't like
he it. Could have been, he then could have let it go and just played his 6-game suspension and moved on, and it would have been dead. Now this is going to hang over him for the next year, almost 2 years. Oh, my goodness. Good for him. Way to go, dude, you moron. But, folks, he is guilty today, right now. Right now, under the law, he is guilty. It's done. If he were to be pulled over by a cop right now for whatever, that shows on his rap sheet today. And the NFL is letting him play. Woohoo! Way to go, NFL. Way to go. All right. Guys, let's go. Cap Potato is in the chat room. Hopefully he'll join us. You have to love today's justice system. Yeah, bad timing. Yeah, whatever. You're right. Why don't you join us, Cap Potato, because we're going to move on over to Adrian Peterson. This is something that we have to give credit to Coffee. When this news broke, we were live, and it broke when we were live. So we want to thank Coffee, who was in the chat room during the Matt Alvarez Sports Opinion Show. And we have quite a bit of information now. But basically, folks, this is the stuff up front. I'm going to go to the big dog on this one. Adrian Peterson has been deactivated officially for Sunday's game. An arrest warrant has been issued, indicted on a charge of injury to a child. Now, this happened in May of 2014. Now, when I wrote this down, Peterson will turn himself in, but it turns out that early this morning at about 1:33 a.m. local time, he turned himself in. Or actually, no, it might have been about 4:03 a.m. local time. He turned himself in a Montgomery County facility. He was booked, and then he was later released on $15,000 bond, which he posted. Now, we know that this took place in May of 2014. We've heard a little bit about the story. I'm going to go to the big dog. I'm going to fill in maybe a little bit more as far as the details. But if you've seen the images, it is not an 11-year-old child as was originally reported. It was his 4-year-old child. And I didn't know this, guys, but Matt Alvarez used this term in the program, Coffee knew what it was, I didn't. It's a switch. Parents yep. tell their kids, you see, you know what that, I don't know what it is. Apparently parents tell their children, go get a switch. A switch? What the hell's a switch? Well, Coffee enlightened us and a switch is a small branch. Fine.
Yep.
Parents say, go get a switch so I can, as it says in the Mexican joke, why don't you come on over here so I can beat the hell out of you?
Yep.
There is a Mexican joke, and I apologize. It's real. Here, come on up so I can pick you up. You know, there's another joke that says, pick yourself up so I can come over and pick you up. But there's another one that says, get over here so I can beat the crap out of you. Big dog.
Yes.
Have you seen the images of the 4-year-old that have now been all over the place?
No, I haven't seen the images, but I mean, I know what it was. I mean, especially, I would like to see where Peterson grew up. I would assume he grew up somewhere in the South, because excuse me?
East Texas.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Not quite the South, but still Texas. And a lot of that was, you know, that's what was done. I'm pretty sure his parents did the same thing to him. Go get a switch. You go and you try and find what you do is you try and find a branch that is not rubbery because then it hurts more. you want to find a branch that's kind of brittle so that it's still going to hurt, but it's not going to hurt as much. What you do is you take the branch and you give it to your parents. They pull off the extra leaves and all that shit, and then, you know, you take your – In essence, you're whipping, because that's what it is. You're being whipped with the switch. You take your whatever, you know, two lashes, four lashes, five, whatever it's supposed to be. And his stance is probably, that's the way I was brought up. That's the way I'm going to bring up my child. He's my child. I can do what I want. Well, yes, you can, to a point. And that is, I think, a switch is, you know, it needs to be thrown out, just like everything else. I mean, we're beyond that. If you want to spank your child, that's well within your right. But, I mean, the switch, I think, is a little excessive.
Well, folks, before I go to Brian, I also want to let you know that this happened in May of 2014. Apparently, Adrian Peterson disciplined his child for whatever reason and then sent the child on an airplane back to the mom up north for whatever reason because there was a doctor's appointment that was coming up. So he knew the doctor's appointment was coming up, and he still did what he did because, as Adrian Peterson says, I mean, I got whooped. So, I mean, this is the way it is. I mean, if I'm going to discipline my children, which I do, I'm not breaking the law. I am not doing anything out of the ordinary. So, apparently, the child went to the doctor's office, and here's where it gets a bit hazy. Did the mom report the injury to the doctor, or did the doctor see this and say, oh, wait a minute, this is child abuse? Well, that's the only hazy thing that we know or don't know. The other thing is, this has already gone before a grand jury. And the first grand jury said, we don't have enough evidence. Go figure. Now there's a second grand jury, and now there has been an arrest warrant issued because the second grand jury says, yep, there's enough here for him to be, indicted. Brian.
Well, as a kid growing up, it's called a hickory, a switch, hickory, whatever. I got the hell beat out of me multiple times, but it was, you know, it was out of discipline. My parents were disciplinarians. They believed, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But let me tell you, at 4 years old, I was never beaten or hit hard with anything. I was disciplined. I asked my mom about it. And, you know, even the worst spankings I received, punishment, never left marks. I mean, like, this kid was 4 years old, doesn't realize what's going on. And it looks like Adrian Peterson just went batshit crazy on this kid. And that's where I have the problem. Roger, an 11-year-old kid acting like a punk, maybe you whipped him too hard with a hickory. He's going to survive, but a four-year-old, I mean, you could do some major mental damage to a four-year-old kid by beating him. That's the problem I have. Why spank a four-year-old like that? They just don't get it, and that's my problem.
Yeah, and Big Dog, you have not seen the images, and I recommend
No.
you don't see the images. Folks, I saw them last night and early this morning. I don't pretend to know what a whipping is, a job like these images that were shown. I was stunned. They are open sores, and it looks like a raptor from the movie Jurassic Park ripped into the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Roger, those pictures were like a week later. I mean, imagine what they look like day one and two.
What?
Yeah.
That was a week later?
Yes. So think about, just back it up. The body heals itself fast, especially when you're 4 years old. Imagine what he looked like the day one and two.
Wow. I didn't know just were a week old. Wow, folks. If someone's in the chat room, might as well, for those of you that are in the chat room, I have an article on Adrian Peterson, but it does not show the images. I don't like to say, you know, hey, you know, these images are pretty bad, but you know what, folks? As a parent, or, no, you know what? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. As a human being, they look bad, Brian. They look seriously bad. And I understand, folks, we're not condoning violence in any way whatsoever. No way. But I actually appreciated and understood what Brian said. It's one thing on an 11-year-old, it's another thing on a 4-year-old. I get that.
And guys, don't forget, or, I mean, we might have forgotten, I had forgotten until I read it just right now in this article, Don't forget that just last October, Edward Peterson was the one that had his 2-year-old child pass away when he had just barely found out he had had that boy, that child, a couple of months before by the mother's boyfriend member who beat that child essentially to death. And now, what, 9 months later, he whips his son, his 4-year-old son, that bad. I mean, you know, he was supposedly devastated in October when his 2-year-old son was beaten to death. And yet he goes and like I said, I haven't seen the pictures, but you guys are saying, and they're pretty graphic from what you're saying, the damage that was done. For him to do that kind of damage, you know, to a 4-year-old knowing that just 9 months earlier, a 2-year-old that was yours was beaten to death, I mean, what was going through his mind?
Probably steroids.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I kind of commented about that before, and the big dog has heard me talk about that, where we have been talking about Ray Rice snapping and all these others, that they snap, and I kind of threw it out there again. Is it roid rage? I don't think you were there.
Yeah.
You might have been, Brian, but I know Cap Potato was. We kind of chuckled about it because we know that people just snap, and it is so evident in the NFL. Folks, look at the numbers. Between 50 and 80 NFL players in the last year have been involved in some sort of domestic abuse. Or
these are guys you would never picture it, guys. I mean, Ray Rice, I mean, would you, if you had a lineup of 100 players, Roger, I mean, how long would it take you to pull from Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice that would be involved in something like this? Something happened mentally or to make them do this. And, you know, Ray Rice was drinking. Well, you put alcohol with steroids, it's like a damn bomb going off, I'm telling you. And, these guys.
Brian, hold on. We're assuming. We're not saying they're taking steroids. For these two players, Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice. Folks,
I am.
You understand? Well, in this case, Brian has a point, and I'm going to say it again. Brian has a point. When you take roids and you take alcohol, what happens, Brian? And don't tell me they go Ray Rice on us. Please don't. No, they go crazy.
Well, I was taking testosterone before, and, you know, I had a doctor legally write it to work out and just to try it, and I quit taking it after a couple of weeks because, man, little things piss you off to the point where you feel like you're going to run through a wall. So imagine you take that stuff for a long time and mix it with different things. And the pressures of being in the NFL, too. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but it wouldn't surprise me at all.
It wouldn't surprise me either, and that I will go on. Big Dog, I heard you in the background. Did you see the pictures?
No. I thought you said you didn't post the pictures.
I just posted them in the chat room. I found an article. The article is from clicktohouston.com. I have to give them the news. And I believe it was in Houston where the story broke. Again, Coffee did get the story to us right away while Matt and I were live on the Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. That was a lot of fun yesterday. But it was not fun having to talk about this stuff. So the images are actually there. You can take a look at them. Now, think about what Brian said. These images were taken a week after the incident. And folks,
yeah.
It's bad. It is serious. It's come to the point that if a kid has a mark on them, they have to report it. Because if they don't report it and it turns out that something happens, they lose their careers. They lose their lives because everyone wants blood. It's become that way. It's a shame. It's sad. Did I discipline my children? Yes. Did Big Dog discipline his children? Yes. Were we disciplined? Well, I can't say yes to that, folks. My brother, older brother, and my two older sisters believe that I missed out on the joy of being disciplined. I can't believe it. I was not disciplined. My parents never raised their hand to me or put their hand on my bottom. They never did. And you will, my brother will tell you and my sisters that, yeah, I think I am the way I am because I needed some discipline. Well, I don't know, folks. You go measure that. But I'm assuming the big dog did discipline his children. And Brian has disciplined Wellington from time to time. Have you not, Brian?
I've beaten him half to death with a belt. I'm joking. No, I don't spank a belt. Cujo's, you don't spank Cujo's now. You just give them love, that's all.
Wait a minute. So is Wellington like, is he a pissy dog? So when he's real nice, he's Mr. Wellington, but when he gets angry, he's Mr. Cujo?
Yes. He's bipolar.
I thought he was the Incredible Hulk. That's funny. And Brian, by the way, to lighten things up just a little bit, folks, Brian has been posting a few pictures of Wellington lately. It's really kind of cool to be able to put a picture to the stories. Yes, I know, the peanut butter story will not go away, but it's still cool to see pictures of him. For those of you that know, on my Twitter page, I posted a video of something that I recorded early, about the same time yesterday. I was up early, and I just recorded what the day looked like and all my pussies running around. I thought it was kind of cool. If you want to check it out, it's on my Twitter feed. But anyway, folks, thank you, Big Dog, for that. Yes, yes, Cat Potato, thank you. He did turn himself in. I made that announcement about, like, a long time ago. But thank you for that, Cat Potato. And thank you for going to the article for the LA Times, but it's already been reported. And he was released on bond. Yes, Cat Potato, thank you for that. We already reported that. Before we went live, I had that information. But it's okay. You went to bed at 3 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, Adrian Peterson has been deactivated for Sunday's game. He's still going to get paid, and we're going to see what's going to happen. The images are pretty rough. So I think the Big Dog has now seen them. But, folks, ESPN obviously loves Adrian Peterson because when they were reporting on this, they said, yes, well, he's going to be deactivated for the game over this alleged incident that took place in May of 2014. Alleged incident. Alleged. Hey, when did you become Roger Goodell, you stupid moron? Because Adrian Peterson said, yes, I disciplined my children, and yes, I did that. So hold on a minute. Okay, wait. Adrian Peterson says, I disciplined my child. Yes, I used the switch. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess this is all alleged then, that he beat his child. Brian, what do you think? Has it been alleged, or did it happen?
Yeah, he admitted to it.
Yes!
Adrian Peterson. Yeah, he admitted, so it's not alleged anymore. I mean, just like Ray Rice admitted to knocking his fiance out. It's not alleged when they admit to doing it.
Yes, it is alleged. And, you know, folks, I know I don't have an intro for him again, and I'm going to have to use it second time today. So I ask you to forgive me, Sonny Clark, because you're listening. But, Sonny, when I say beep, you can cover your ears for about 20 seconds, and that way you know we're not cheating on you or your partner. But here, beep.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Good morning, Matt Alvarez. How are you this morning, Matt? And no, Sonny, it's not your boy. It is Matt Alvarez. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up, man?
Hey, we're just here this early morning, man. Thanks for joining us again. Tell me, Matt, how do you want to contribute? What do you want to say, buddy? Go for it.
And I just want to say, how is it possible that these pro athletes such as Adrian Peterson can just walk out after only 30 minutes? He was only in there for 30 minutes and posted bail, and he's gone. I think they should be treated like us, like a normal citizen where they can't make bail for at least 24 hours.
That's interesting. That is very interesting. I've heard about that, that when you are arrested, you have to call someone, you have to wait. Sorry, I didn't mean to cough. You have to wait a while, and I didn't know it was 24 hours, but yeah, he was in and out fast early this morning. Brian, how's it work over in the peach state of Georgia?
I guess it just depends on what it is. I mean, if you're picked up, arrested, DUI or something, yeah, but if you walk in and turn yourself in, I think that's for something like that. Maybe it's different. I haven't studied the rules.
Oh, you're right. That might be the friendly discount, right? If you come in, you can get out as soon as you can do that. But if we arrest you, that takes a while. Because I know that if you're arrested on suspicion of DUI, right, Big Dog? You go in and there's this thing called a tank, right? That's where they put you for a while, huh?
Well, yeah, you're put in there to sober up, but don't forget, guys, since he, like you said, he voluntarily turned himself in, which means his lawyer already knew what the charge was going to be and what the bail amount would be. So if you walk in with the money, yeah, you'll be out of there in an hour or two. I mean, if any one of us were to be told, hey, there's an arrest warrant, we can either arrest you or you can come in and turn yourself in, and we already have a lawyer, and the lawyer says, okay, well, bond is going to be $15,000. If you go in with already your bond all set, ready to go, you're going to be out in an hour or two.
Okay. Well, I still agree with what you said, Matt. How can these rat bastards get out so early?
I know, right? I mean, if any one of us, I mean, I don't have $15,000 to ever bail myself out, or however the bail amount would be. What if you can't afford that? That's the only reason, is because they can afford it. They're pro athletes, and all these pro athletes are rich.
Yep.
So yeah, they should be rich, just like us, when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, just as a side note, I've told, this is when my kids were much younger, and they discovered what the telephone system was, and they were rebelling, and they said, if you touch me, I'll call 911. I said, yeah, you know what? And if you call 911, I'm a working Joe. You're going to break this family up. It's done. It's over. They're going to take you from us, and I don't know when we'll get back together. It could take years. So if you want to break this family up, you go ahead and call 911. And then, of course, the joke is, someone else said, because if you call 911, there will be a reason for them to come over. But I, you know, if someone such as myself, Matt, the Big Dog, if we're, I mean, it's going to take us hours to get out of jail, 24 hours, maybe even 48. And isn't it true that if you go in on the weekend, you're stuck
yes.
there like the entire weekend if you have to see the judge?
Yes, if you go in on a Friday after like 4 o'clock, you're not getting out till Monday. But what I did want to say, guys, shows you the differences of the teams and how it's run. Now the Panthers, even though, as we talked about earlier, even though Hardy is guilty, you know, and in front of the courts, he was found guilty, even though he's appealing it, he's still guilty, as you said. Every day he's guilty right now.
Wait, who's guilty?
Hardy. Remember, we were saying.
Yes.
Okay, but yet they're allowing him to play. But yet the Vikings, with Peterson, even though now it's alleged and he's got to go to court, they're like, we don't care what the court has said. You already told us we're sitting you down. Yes, we're going to pay you, but you're not going to play for us until this. You know, who knows how long they're going to sit him down? Could be until the whole thing's over. But it just goes to show you the differences between the teams and the team's mentality and how they take this. The Vikings, even though it's just alleged, they're sitting him down. They don't want him to be any part of the team right now. But yet, Hardy on the Panthers are like, we don't care. Well, yeah, you found him guilty. We don't care. We want him to play. You know, it just goes to the mentality of how each team thinks. And you know, some teams are, you know, they don't give a shit. In essence, you know, they don't care. They want to see what, you know, what you can do on the field, whether you're a star player or not. They want you on the field. But, you know, what people need to realize is, yes, they get paid millions of dollars, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry, which we all know, but it's just a game. There's life that goes on, and if you're beating your child or, you know, whatever that's going on, or in Hardy's case, you know, he's assaulting his former girlfriend and found guilty, and they, you know, the team doesn't care. He's like, I don't care. He's a good player. We want him. We need his help on the field. So it kind of goes to the morality of the team, and every team is different. And my hat's off to the Vikings for saying, Peterson, hey, you're going to sit down. We're going to pay you, but you know what? We don't want your outside stuff interfering with the game, with our team.
And Big Dog, you know, when we got this report live yesterday, Matt and I didn't have the actual chance to talk about this, but and now that Matt's on with us right now, we did lose Brian. Hopefully he'll be able to come back, but maybe it's college Saturday, so that's why he's out now. Good morning, Zeke. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. That's two in a row. A warrant was issued for his arrest yesterday. So that's the dynamic. That's what changed. And the minute the warrant was issued for his arrest, the NFL said, okay, dude, you got an arrest warrant. You need to go handle that now. We're going to give you the time to go handle that. We're going to put you as ineligible. And
well, the team did that, not the NFL. The team did that because it's the team's choice to do it, not the NFL.
Yeah, I pulled Roger Clemens. I'm sorry, I misspoke. So, again, the team said, go and take care of that, and that's it. Now, he has bailed himself out. He said, okay, I'm so-and-so. I understand I'm being charged. So the next thing that happens is the district attorney goes to the judge for the hearing as to him going to get a hearing. These are the charges. Are you guilty or not guilty? Adrian Peterson is going to say not guilty. The judge looks up to his calendar and says, okay, trial starts on this day. Bang. That's what's going to happen. And before trial begins, the district attorney will be meeting with the defense to try to work out a plea agreement and vice versa. Both sides try to work something out. And if nothing happens, we go to court. That's the way it's going to be. So I want to ask you, Matt, knowing what we know now, that an arrest warrant has been issued, all this means is the district attorney went to a grand jury and said, hey, I feel I have cause to charge him with child abuse or child negligence, hurting the child. What was it listed on? It was listed as on a charge of injury to a child. That's what he's being charged, negligence or injury to a child. He went to the grand jury. The second grand jury says, yeah, you have enough. So once they say you have enough, I can indict him. He's been indicted. Come on. And now they know he's been indicted because an arrest warrant was issued. The arrest warrant is so that you can answer to what you're being charged of. Knowing that, Matt, what would you do as a Minnesota Viking?
I would just, you know, deal with my problem, take care of business, and just take time away from the NFL if I was him.
Okay. Now, knowing there was an arrest warrant, you accommodated him by saying, okay, you go take care of business. Now, the case, Big Dog, is going to be months down the road, within the next year. Now I'm going to put it to the Big Dog. Are you going to suspend the player, or are you going to let him play again, knowing that in America, you are innocent until proven guilty?
That's a good question, Raj. I don't know what I would do. I mean, like I said, right now he's not playing for the team, but he's still getting paid. So if...
Yeah, for this Sunday. For this Sunday only, Big Dog. We know that. And they said clearly...
I understand. I don't know, because, I mean, he might, I mean, geez, it's a tough position to be put in, but I probably would, because of everything that's been happening, maybe as team president or general manager or whatever, I might just sit him down until this is all over. Okay, we're going to take it. So this is an outside thing, and it's infringing on the team. It's affecting the team. We don't need it. Yes, you're an all-star player. You're one of the top 10 players in the league, possibly. But you know what? We don't want to deal with any of this, so we're going to pay you. Go sit down. And that will do it.
I'm not sure what the couch potato is saying about he's gone. I'm still challenging him to call in. But I want to know in the chat room, guys, please. We have Zeke and couch potato. Couch potato, I know you went to bed at 3, but that's 1 o'clock my time. So get off your lazy butt. Call in. I want to know because next, starting Monday or Tuesday, and that's my question to Matt and to the big dog. Okay, he was deactivated or made ineligible for this weekend so he could take care of the arrest warrant. He's taking care of it. What happens next week? Folks, he's not going to go to trial for months. He has a hearing first, and he is most undoubtedly going to say not guilty. So knowing that, are you going to suspend Adrian Peterson, or are you going to continue with he is ineligible, but we're still going to pay you? What are you going to do, or are you going to let him play? Or are you hoping the fourth one comes? Hold on. Are you hoping the fourth one comes to play and say, I, Adrian Peterson, believe that it is inappropriate for me to play at this time and in the best interest of the NFL, I'm going to withdraw.
I mean, you would hope that would happen, but if I was a team, I would sit him down saying, based on what's been happening in this league and around other leagues, NBA, we're going to keep him on the bench. We will continue to pay him, but he will not play for this team until this is all cleared up. And that would, for me, go to show you, we don't care if you're the 64th man on the team or you're the number one man on the team. We are holding everyone to a higher standard on this franchise, and until this is cleared up, and whether you're found innocent or guilty, then at that time we will take the appropriate position. But as of right now, you are benched. You will continue to be paid. But we want this outside things that are happening to be taken care of first before you're allowed to play for this team again. That would be my stance.
No, right. I would have to venture to say that, you know, assaulting a child, that's indefinite suspension. You're done. You're finished from the league. You can never play again indefinitely. That would be my ruling. If I was the GM
Matt
or some
Alvarez for NFL
Matt,
even here, folks.
Even Matt, if he goes to trial and he's found innocent for whatever reason, I mean, we've all seen this one before, that even though they had the evidence and everything else, but we all know that if you have a better lawyer than the other guy, there's a good chance you can win. So based on what you're saying, I understand that. I totally agree with you. He should be out of the league and never play again. But if he is found innocent in the eyes of the law, how can you then suspend him or fire him?
Right. So we'll have to wait and see. Like Roger said, it's a long, long process. And, you know, once the story about Adrian Peterson was released, everybody said, well, you know, there's a difference between child endangerment and child abuse. Because in 95, I was in junior high, and I was just sitting in class, and I was unaware that a few miles away when we were living in Madera, California, that the cops had came to get my two brothers out of their elementary school. And then they came to junior high to get me, and all my friends were like, ooh, what'd you do? I was like, what the heck's going on? And they pulled me out of class to inform me, well, we noticed that you don't have any marks on you, but your brothers both have marks on them. If your mother abusing you, we're going to have to call CPS down here. And they made a whole big deal out of it when me and my mother were trying to explain to them, can you calm down for a second? Take a chill pill, relax. Let us explain what's going on here. Come to explain to them. They found out that the reason why my brother's supposed to have marks on their arms and bruises, they got shot. That's it. There was no abuse going on. I'm like, so, wait, you can't tell a difference between what a doctor is doing and what a parent is actually doing to endanger the life of a child?
For everyone listening, did you guys get that? It was very simple. It was very simple. They went for their vaccinations. They got shot. Well, maybe not vaccinations, but they got shot, bruising. And they called the cops because they believed there was abuse. Did you ask the kids? Were your brothers even asked, Matt?
No, they weren't asked. The cops had just assumed that that was what was going on. They said, well, that's okay. We're gonna get your brother and we're going to get your mom down here. And that's what they did. I was like, this is pathetic. Am I done? They go, well, yeah. One of our officers will gladly give you a ride back to school. I'm like, yeah, I got more important things to worry about. It's like, they pulled me out of class for this. Come on now.
And Matt Alvarez was right there that day saying, what the hell, man?
I was taking wood shop class, too. I missed the pizza party. By the time I got back,
And who was this? Was this Madera City Police or was it the county sheriff? Who was it? Who were the rat bastards that denied you the pizza party?
I think it was the county sheriff, I think, because they are the ones authorized to call down CPS. So, I mean, we got to the police station and the CPS people were there. They were ready to take us away from my mom. I was like, you guys are idiots. Good grief.
It is scary how they can make these decisions right away. And think of that, folks. This was back in 1995, correct, Matt, when it happened?
Yeah.
In 1995.
And nowadays, you can't even, you know, flick your kid with your finger. You do that here in California. Oh, you're under arrest, Roger. We saw what you did. they're watching everybody like a hawk.
I have to ask my wife about something because something happened with my younger daughter or my oldest, I forget, something similar, and they had bruises. And now that I'm trying to remember that, I was in paranoia because I was like, my God, she's going to go to school, and they're going to think something happened. And I know we took her to the doctor. I think she fell, something happened, but she had I don't know if she had a stinger or what it was, but we were frightened that they were gonna, you know, do something. I'm gonna have to ask my wife as to what it was, and it was something similar. But that'll be for another time, folks. You are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We wake you up, and of course, the couch potato brings it home. But knowing that he was bleary-eyed and still doesn't call in, the little pussy, the couch potato. The hardest working man in sports hasn't called in yet. But I don't know if he's doing a high school game tonight or if he's going to be on in about an hour or so. But we're going to continue. Still on the NFL, there are several things. I just want to comment very quickly. The Buffalo Bills may have local ownership. As you know, we've been reporting on this for some time now, folks. And it looks like the owners of the Buffalo Sabres in the NHL are in line with a $1.4 billion bid, and it looks like the Bills will remain in local control. And something else, and I'll allow my coworkers, of course, if they want to comment on that, in addition to that, ESPN was showing some graphics early this morning, and they were showing a college quarterback staying in the pocket. And then they said, this is what we mean about pocket presence. Pocket presence? What the hell is pocket presence? What the hell is pocket presence in the NFL? Is this just another BS made-up term because you have nothing else to say? Is this, again, like the Mariano Rivera's of the world, another made-up BS term? Or a future Hall of Famer? Is this yet another made-up BS term? Folks, ESPN is good at making up crap. And if pocket presence is another one of those, what the hell does it mean? As I stand up, folks, and with my right hand, I reach into my pocket, and I have money in there. Do you know what that means? It means I have pocket presence, because I am in my pocket. That's what it is. That's what it means, pocket presence. For them to say pocket presence in the NFL, what the hell does that mean? Does it mean it's stupid? Oh, there's no ambiguity here, folks. It is stupid. What the hell is Matt, what's pocket presence?
You know, I don't know. That's a new one on me. I haven't heard that. I have not heard that at all. That's a new one on me. I'm like, when you started talking about that, I go, what the heck is this? I mean, I still remember back to last year's Super Bowl when they said, well, he hit below the nuts. That's illegal. I'm like, well, we know what that is, but did you have to say the interrogative word? Is that what you're going to start saying now? There used to be all these incandid words that are not even in the NFL rule book. I'm like, how long has this guy been the lead official? And then I hear the announcer say, well, I don't know why he's talking like that, but he's been a lead official for the last, 25 years. I'm like, well, then he should know the rules by now. Stop making up his own words and adding words into it. Then he turns off the microphone, and I guess they had a meeting about it, and they go, what did you say? He's like, I don't know.
There were no hot mics for that one. It was just, what did you say? That was funny. It was good.
Cookie
Big Dog, what the hell is pocket presence?
So are you saying that and of course you're going to love this one. So are you saying that the Peyton Mannings of the world, who are all future Hall of Famers, have pocket presence?
That's funny. I love it. It's funny. Folks, look, this is what it comes down to. Do you know why those unnerve me? And this is where I'm going to disown everyone and probably lose a lot of online friendships and stuff. My thing is that when you use this, I said it. Why do you use the phrases from lazy people? Why do you take from these people who are analphabetic, who are stupid, illiterate, and they themselves are copying from other people? And that's why I wince. And that's why I get unnerved when my compatriots use those phrases. My thing is, why do you want to copy from lazy people? That's why I get unnerved. What's it, Doug?
I said, because it pisses you off.
Because it pisses me off. Whatever. See, Sonny Clark says, because it's fun to get you riled up.
See?
Whatever. But Big Dog,
yes,
what the hell's pocket presence? What the hell?
Sorry?
You gave an answer. I'm sorry. Okay, you did. Okay.
I'll keep aside. Pocket presence is just supposed to be someone like Peyton Manning who doesn't venture out of the pocket as a quarterback. You have the RG3s and whatnot that like to roam around. Once they get out of the pocket, they like to run or just go side to side and just to try and keep away from getting sacked. But when you have an offensive line like Peyton Manning does, the Patriots, when you're that type of an elite quarterback, you can stay in the pocket and pick your receiver, pick whoever you want to throw to because you have enough time because of the offensive line. So in essence, you have what they call pocket presence because you just stay in the pocket all the time, but yet you can still throw the touchdowns and get the yardage that you need without having to roam around.
Hey, Matt, do you know what we used to call it a few years ago? That a quarterback had toys and he remained in the pocket.
There you go.
That's what pocket presence means, allegedly. But there's still some ambiguity in this issue, folks.
Yes.
I got to tell you, pocket presence is a lazy man's way of saying the guy stays in the pocket. Oh, my Lord. ESPN, thank you for joining the ranks of Twitter. And instead of spelling the word, I'll see you later, you spell it I-C-U-L-A-T-R. Way to go, ESPN, for being lazy yet again. Oh, but folks, I don't know if you saw it. Bernardo Osuna,
yes,
I'm putting it out there, my daughter's godfather, is all over ESPN right now because he interviewed Mayweather, and we're going to get to the Mayweather fight in a little bit because that's tonight.
Why?
And he asked Mayweather. And, well, because it's worth wasting a few minutes on. And especially when Bernardo Osuna asked probably the best question. He says, hey, knowing that this is the second match and you know this guy already, are you worried about this fight being dirty? And Mayweather took a moment. He says, you know what? Knowing the ref that we have, I'm good with it. But I'm ready for it. But I knowing the ref, I think things are going to be okay. I'm like, wow, that was cool. That was neat. But, all right, here we go. Folks, also some news hit late last night, early this morning, that the NFL drug policy has been voted on by the National Football League Players Association and has been approved by the players. The agreed-upon agreement, yes, I just said that. It's not a double negative, because when you get two pluses, you never get a negative. Oh, wait a minute, hold on. Is that true in math? Oh, forget it. No. Two pluses never become a negative. No, yeah, I had to remember that, because two negatives can be a plus. But that's not true when you have two stupid engineers. Trust me, join me at work. You'll know what I'm talking about. Two stupid engineers never equal a positive. But anyway, the drug policy. The players, the issue now at why it's not going to be signed immediately is because players are currently being suspended, and it would make them, well, you have a new policy in place, so the suspension will be null and void. Also, the players say, we're ready. And then you have to worry about Jordan, Sanrick, and Welker, who have four games, six games, and I don't know how many for Gordon, I think the entire season. So those are going to have to be resolved. And there
is
GA. What?
10 games his suspension was reduced to.
Oh, you the man, big dog. You are the man. Now let's see if Couch Potato is one to call in, Sonny. He is going to be doing the program in under 45 minutes. He's going to continue, so I know we're going to give him a hand. I am. I'm going to be joining him for a while. But there's ten games for Gordon. Or Jordan. I guess it is Gordon, sorry. Is it Gordon or Jordan?
Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon got 10 games. HGH testing. There is now a 2-game suspension for DUI. And if you have an off-season drug thing that tests positive or you're arrested or whatever, that has now been moved to the PED. From PED to the drug use policy, which is interesting and good. Also, the marijuana threshold has been increased. So in other words, if you test positive for marijuana previously, you're probably going to be negative under this new one because they raised the minimum. So everyone can be doing marijuana. Isn't that great?
Well,
so
I mean,
players.
If you want to take it that way, I mean, because right now they said the threshold was 15 nanograms per milliliter. And what that is, they said even if you were in a room and other people were smoking and you were not smoking and in essence getting secondhand smoke, you would test positive. Now, of course, if other people are – but you, of course, remember you're a player and you know these rules. So if you're in a room and you see other guys smoking and you know that just by inhaling in the room – you're going to test positive, why the hell do you stay in the room? And they complain, oh, it wasn't me, it was my friends that were smoking. Doesn't matter, you knew the rules, get the hell out.
Thank you, Big Dog, I agree. Matt Alvarez, I think it's quite clear that if you're in a room and people are doing drugs, why are you there? Why are you there? Knowing that your dumbass buddies, or I'm sorry, your hired posse, they're probably going to slip you a Mickey just so you can say and have it, you know, have it where, well, I didn't take any, but your buddies put it in there so you wouldn't, you know, it's called, what is it? Not culpable deniability, but it's a genuine deniability or like, well, you, you know, I didn't take anything. But your buddies put in your drink. Or they themselves put it in your cigarette. Or they themselves, you know what, they shot you. You didn't shoot up. They did it for you. It's something deniability. Matt?
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I got to say about this. I'm gonna spend 10 more minutes with you guys. But, you know, it's funny you bring that up because, I mean, I've grown up watching and enjoying all the stupid things that they do on all these cop shows where they go, how you doing, officer? And for no reason, they don't even get a chance for the officer to actually search them. The guy just turns around and runs. Or I've seen some other cop shows where they're like, well, wait, what's this in your pants? Well, that's not mine. That belongs to Big Dog, man. Big Dog, you better catch up and tell them you put this in my pants. They go, how did this put it in your pants? It's on you. No, Big Dog gave it to me, man. He put it in my pants. Or you did. You planted it there, officer. Officer, like, yeah, I planted it there, right. I'm not going to jeopardize my job on the line by saying that, oh, I put it on you, on your person, and I slipped you the crack cocaine or drugs or anything else like that. I'm like, really? And then they run for the stupidest things. It's like here in California, they always run, and they always end up crashing their cars, too. And they go, why'd you run? I don't have a license. That's all. One little thing like that. You don't have a license. We could have ran your name. But then other times when they run your name, they go, well, what's your name, Big? I think your name is Big Dog, right? No, my name is Samuel. My name is Samuel. And then, they keep asking you questions, and you keep digging yourself a bigger hole. My name is Brian. Wait, you just said your name is Samuel. Make up your mind, because I think I've seen you around before. Aren't you with the Sports Talk with the Guys? No, I don't know that show either. No, hell no, you got the wrong guy. And then all the process of lying and digging yourself a bigger hole, they run your name through the database from the license plate on your car, and your real name comes back in the computer, and we go, you're under arrest. For what? You lied. You told me one big story. You gave me, like, 10 different names, and now we find your real name. You're under arrest. Turn around, put your hand behind your back. I mean, people run for the stupidest things. I mean,
see this now. The cop is saying, Mr. Gama, stand up, turn around and put your hands behind your back. Because, first of all, he gave the name Big Dog, and then I guess he gave another one. Samuel should have been Sonny, and then the last one was Brian. So we know it was the Big Dog in this situation. Hey, Matt, you need to go back and get this recording. Put it on your show. That was damn funny. Oh, my God. Hold on, folks. Hold on to your pantalones. It is here. It is now. Either you're humming or you're mumbling, Sonny. I don't know which one it is.
I'm just singing your song because I can't hear you. That's all.
Well, Sonny Clark, you told me that when I speak it over the Blog Talk Radio sound file, it's not in sync. And far be it for me to be making fun of that band in sync by doing them wrong and not doing it correctly. So I just stay silent on the Blog Talk Radio intro.
Yeah, I was doing it for you, so there you go. So good.
You were doing it for him. Well, does that mean that you were sticking your hand in the Big Dog's pocket putting some illicit substance?
That was great.
You were doing for me?
That was funny.
That was great, Matt. By the way, I'm here dying
funny.
Laughing because after the third time you said the Big Dog,
Big Dog's probably going, "What are you doing?"
Folks, I think you need to listen to Friday's program as well. There was a lot of love for the Big Dog on Friday.
And he turns face on him today.
Big Dog,
but,
you need
yes.
to listen to Matt Alvarez's annual show. Sonny, you need to listen to it too, especially at the very end
It was a very recent conversation that Matt put us all on check on. It was hilarious.
It was hilarious. Matt Alvarez, I know I didn't get a chance to say this while you were here, but, dude, this is two in a row now. I'm humbled. I'm thrilled that I am in your annual show. I've been in for several years now. Last year, unfortunately, was the Scorekeeper show. God, I was in there so much. But this time you had so many different people on, so many different events. It was hilarious. It was great. And then you saved us for the very end. Holy crap, that was funny. So it was fun, Matt. It was really fun to get Raz. And all I got to say is there was a lot of love for the big dog, huh, Matt?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the August 18th anniversary show, everyone was put on blast, and then the big dog, He got his big finale at the end.
Oh, yeah. Big Dog, lots of love, buddy. But you need to go and listen to the August 18th. And, folks, for anyone else listening, it was a fun program, the Matt Alvarez anniversary show. Matt Alvarez is now starting. Get this, folks. That was his seventh. No, wait. Okay, tell me again, Matt, because even I'm losing track. NDB Media is finishing up its 6th year, so we're opening the 7th. That's right. It was your 7th anniversary, huh?
It was my 7th, and now I'm in my 8th.
Matt Alvarez is now in his 8th year on Blog Talk Radio. Matt was there almost from the very beginning, folks. Seriously, he was August 18, 2007. Yes, Sonny.
Wow, Matt started his show when he was 5? Damn.
What a dick. Hey, Matt, and now we know why he got put on blast, right?
Boy,
I do want
to listen to the show. You know, I'm pretty sure anything that he said was well-deserved by me. I know I deserve everything that he said. But he knows I do it out of love, so that's fine.
You know what?
I don't mind.
It was done with a lot of love. Sonny, you're in the program. I am, if I'm not mistaken, Brian is there. I'm not sure about Cuervo, but it was very recent, the second to last one. I was listening to him like, oh, my God, he got that one? I was like, oh, geez. That, and Big Dog features prominently in that one. But, no, at the very end, Big Dog got a lot of richly deserved love. So, yeah, it was good. Folks, if you have a chance, listen to the August 18th program. It was fun. Cash Potato, good morning, pal. I know I forced you to call in, and I'm glad you're
Yeah, you
there,
forced
buddy.
Me to call in. I'm still waking up. I've only had 2 cups of coffee, so I'm trying to shake the cobwebs out. So.
Well, I've had 2 tiny little packages of sliced pears or peaches. I don't know what they are. And I'm finishing my cup, and now I'm reaching for the big dog's cup because the big dog wasn't able to be here this morning because he's not the sick dog. He's the dead dog right now, right?
I'm the tired dog, yeah.
Oh, you're the tired dog. You know, we never had another name for you, big dog. It was always the big dog until Terry Zahn. It was Terry Zahn that came up with that one.
Yep.
So he's now Big Dog. Yeah, so hopefully Terry Zahn will be joining us again. He is now traveling this week again, I guess without the motorhome. He sold his massive motorhome, and he's going to be traveling for the next month. So, but he is going to be there in December, Sonny.
What was that? I took my headset off to scratch my ear. Oh, the traveling man, right?
The traveling man will be there with us in Vegas.
Yes.
Another event that I was going to go to in December, and it killed me. It's a huge event in Georgia. It's called Farragut Fest. And
yeah.
I've been invited to go. It's a big deal. And I may fly out of Vegas right after we do the Saturday stuff. I don't know. Because I want to get to Farragut Fest. So I'm going to see if I can try to make both. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Sonny
Clark.
And for, for those that are not in the know, what is Farragut Fest?
Thank you, sir. Farragut Fest is a big convention. It is done by Star Trek. Thank you, big dog. By Star Trek fans. It's from Starship Farragut. If you know of them, great. And if you don't, guys, if you're a Star Trek fan or even not even a casual fan or not even a fan, Starship Farragut does their own episodes, their own movies. They recently released one, and they're doing very, very well. They have a Kickstarter campaign, and they're so big that when we had our Star Trek special on Monday, well-known author Michael Jan Friedman joined us, and he even talked about the Kickstarter campaign for Farragut. We're like, holy crap, we can't get away from him. Starship Farragut is fun. And I have been invited to go, and it's the same weekend of us being in Vegas, Sonny. Oh, wow. All right, Matt. Thanks, buddy. You're telling us you've got to go in the chat room. Tell us, Matt, where are you going? You out of here?
I'm going to go have breakfast with a couple of guys that I hang out with. So it's going to be great. But, Roger, I think after yesterday, now that you get Fridays off, you can pop in once in a while. That was great.
I appreciate that, Matt. It was a lot of fun, and I'm going to be doing it as often as I can. Come tax season, it'll be impossible, but, yeah, I'm going to be joining you more. I know now what Sonny's talking about when he goes in on Fridays to spend time with you. It's a lot of fun. I always hear it, but I don't get a chance to always call in, and it was fun. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a good Saturday.
You too.
All right, folks. He is the star of the Sports Opinion Show, Matt Alvarez. You can catch him every Friday here on this network at 1 p.m. Pacific time. It's 2 hours, as I love telling everyone. Jim Rome, F you. We have Matt Alvarez. It doesn't get much better than that, folks. You want the latest news in wrestling? Yes, it does.
Scorekeeper, you know the real reason why he's leaving, right?
Oh, no. I'm afraid
the reason why he's leaving is it's 7:30. Now that's why he rushed off so quickly. Barney started at 7:30 in the morning, and he needed to change the channel and put all his attention to Barney. That's why he left.
I kind of figured that's where that one would go.
Oh, by the way, big dog.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
There's only one thing I have to say. Although Matt Alvarez has left the chat room, Mr. Matt Alvarez is
still
live with us right now. Yeah,
cool.
He's still
there.
Well, that's why he changed the channel.
No. All I got to say is, screw you, big dog. Just screw you. Forget you then. I see how you are. Goodbye.
The love in this room is really amazing.
That's right. That's why, when he's ever in the chat room, the love is always there. That's why I always put in the chat room, I love you, you love me.
Jeez, I even set that up unintentionally. Oh, Lord.
You know, we're just a happy, you know, NDB Media family.
You almost said that with the
That's
wrong.
Wonderful.
Okay, Matt is gone. But I stayed silent when you said, do you know why he's leaving? And I think he was about to go through, and he just stayed silent with me. And I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to be a party to this one, dude.
As soon as he said that, but I thought he was going to say something about Saturday morning cartoons. So, I was a little off, but it was going in that direction. Thank you.
Well, you know, okay. Now that Matt is gone, I am going to come clean. When Big Dog says, you know why he has to go? Why? Because the children's menu ends at 8 o'clock.
Kids eat free.
So you see, I'm the innocent one, but when the minute the Big Dog said that, I was like, oh, what's he going to say?
He drags us in. Thanks, Big Dog.
Yeah, you just do it. You beat us to it. So far, since you are with us, well, we actually still have a lot of time, but again, he is Matt Alvarez. He takes our Josh, and it's pretty rough. But we're going to do it again. We're going to bring him on. It's a bit surprising that he's back because it is College Monday, but we're going to do it right now. I love doing this.
folks.
Just a good old boy.
Brian Tarbin.
Never mean it no harm.
Well, I don't know if he doesn't mean any harm, but we still have Brian on with him. Good morning, Brian. What?
Good morning. And you know you guys are better than College Game Day. Come on. You have to give yourself more credit than that.
Well, funny that you say that because, you know, we do our show on tomorrow morning. Since we started doing that, I have not seen an ESPN, NFL, or CBS or Fox pregame show since we started doing it on Sunday morning. So, you know, yeah, we're better than that. And on Saturday, I rolled over. I seen that it was 8:07. I was like, I got to get up. So I rolled out of bed. That's how much love I have for these guys on a Saturday morning. I went to bed at 3 a.m., and here I am with, you know, now the third cup of coffee trying to get through. But good show, by the way, today, guys.
Sonny,
you made me laugh.
Sonny, I have just one thing to say, guys, if you don't mind. How many people last week, you look at our predictions, Sunday morning, Sonny, how many of those ESPN, CBS guys picked the upsets we did? I don't know any.
None. And it's funny that you mentioned that. Against the spread, I went 12-4. I won two parlay cards. I won over $150 on parlay cards on Sunday. And out of the straight picks, I only missed three. We were dead on there on Sunday.
Exactly. We know football. These guys just sit up there in a suit and tie and have the IQ of my ass and think they can pick football.
Yeah, and read off of teleprompters like they know what they're talking about.
See, that's why they call Brian. That's why they call Brian a fart ass.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Big Dog and I are jumping in on this one. Brian, that's not fair. Your ass is a lot better than those guys. So you are insulting yourself by saying that, pal, because they have to look up to see your ass.
That's a good point.
They're only at your ankles, so they got to look up to see the the moon over my hammy.
Mayama. We went away from it, but it was Brian, Cuervo, and Sonny that reminded us about Mayama. So we're back to Mayama, folks.
Don't forget about that. Hey, a classic stays with you, so you got to keep on doing it.
I mean, who in the hell thinks it's called Mayama? Oh, I'm sorry. Stupid hicks that live in that town. Mayama. Such an idiot. It is unbelievable. But, folks, I know this is definitely two in a row. I'm thrilled with the way Sports Talk with the Guys has, dare I say, got its groove back. You guys heard last week that, you know, Sports Talk with the Guys has its history, and we've done a lot of things. We stood out from the crowd because of the way we did our program. And I became ill, and the Big Dog carried on. He kept us going for the longest time. And then the Big Dog became ill. And then it was Sonny Clark, Cuervo, and the ref, Brian, came into the program and carried Sports Talk with the Guys with us. And I didn't mention this last week, but it's true. When Brian, Sonny, and Cuervo join all five of us, it's just a thrill. And Sports Talk with the Guys, I think, would have died some time ago had it not been for Sonny, Brian, and Cuervo. They are Sports Talk with the Guys, too. That's why
I woke
here
up one Saturday and you guys weren't on air. I was like, whoa. No Sports Talk with the Guys? I'll go in and I will do it. It's something that if it's not there, it's almost, you know what it's like? It's almost like regular medication. You know, if you don't get your regular medication that makes you feel well, you feel bad. So I was like, oh, no, we can't do that. So we had to start it back up. And, it was only 5 minutes late that morning, too. So I was like, no, we'll just do it ourselves. It won't be as good without everybody, but at least it was on. So, and you guys have done the same thing for my show, too. So I think it was I think it was last week. You guys finished it out because I had to leave on some unscheduled appointment. So, It's a I pat your back, you pat my back kind of thing, and it works well here.
And by the way, folks, speaking of patting each other on the back, my program, it is already scheduled. It is going to be on the last Sunday in September because that is the last day of baseball season.
Yep.
And yes, it's the one that I've been doing. I think Big Dog, it's like 5 years now, right, for the baseball season award?
I believe so. Yep.
It's been a little while. And it's always been my program because I've always done it the last minute. I take some hours. You know, in the last week of baseball, I look at myself. But long story short, it's always been on at 7 o'clock on Sunday night or at 7 o'clock on the last day of the baseball season. Last week it ended on a Thursday, I think it was, so I did it then. But it's back to Sunday, and it was going to be on at 7. I'm like, oh, no, that's too late. I want to get some guys on, so I'm going to go at 6 on Sunday night. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Brian's on at that hour. That's why I'm not on anymore, guys. I used to be on Sunday night at 7. Remember that, Big Dog? It was a regular thing.
Yep.
But, yeah, I had lots of guests on Sunday. Zeke and I, Sunday night at 7, that was our night. And when Brian came on, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm never going to do sports at that hour. But then it was like, well, he's on at that hour, so even though I'm doing TV, movie, or something else, I still don't like to be on at that hour because he's on at that time. So, knowing that, I am moving up my baseball annual awards program to 5 p.m. on Sunday night.
Aww.
So that's before Brian's program, and I'm going to go for an hour, maybe a little bit less.
Thank
but
you, Roger.
Hey, dude, thank you. Even though Mark Lee is on and he sometimes bleeds into your program, that's okay. That's a whole different audience. You guys know Mark Lee. He's the bomb. But trust me, when he's talking about cartoons and cereals, that audience doesn't watch sports. It's two different things.
Except so Matt Alvarez.
what a... That's funny.
Thanks a lot, Big Dog. Now you got me into it.
So, gentlemen, that was funny, Sonny. I've got to admit that. I have extended, because I've never invited anyone, even though it was always an invite. It's because I always did it the last minute. So, this Sunday, it's going to be at 5 p.m. on the 28th, and I'm going to put the categories out this weekend, and I've invited the esteemed Tim McLeod, and he is already committed to it. So Tim and I are going to be giving our annual awards in baseball. So I know you guys are baseball fans, and Tim is going to be on. I am extending it to all three of you, including Cuervo, so that'd be four, and to anyone else that wants to do it. We're going to spend an hour, and we're going to be giving our Major League Baseball award, such as Cy Young, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, etc. Yes, Big Dog.
Will you be introducing a new category, the Cooling Off the Fans Award, otherwise known as the Matt Braun Award?
Wait a minute,
Ryan Braun. Otherwise known as the Ryan Braun Award, you know, the Cooling Off of the Fans.
Wow. You know,
man.
We have a new category that the Big Dog just invented. I need you to email me that one, Big Dog, so I can write it down. So, yes, we're going to have a new category. And if there's some that you suggest, well, I'm inviting everyone who has a love of baseball or, for that matter, a love of sports. And we're going to be on. It's going to go for an hour right before Brian's. So we're going to lead into Brian's program that night. That's the way it's going to be. And it's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific on September 28th. Most of the games will be done by then, if not all of them. So I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
You said that's on a Sunday, Raj?
Sunday, September 28th, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
It is sports. It has always been the Scorekeepers Major League Baseball Award, but now it will be, I don't know, it's probably going to have a different name, but it's basically going to be the Major League Baseball Award. But I'm thinking of referring to it as the Alliance Baseball Award. Remember that one, Brian? Remember?
Yeah.
I'm working on that, guys, that there's an alliance here. The Couch Potato, the Weigh-In Sports Talk Show, and sports talk with the guys.
Is that otherwise known as, you know, the unholy alliance or the unholy trinity?
Well, the website's probably going to be the alliance, and under that will be the unholy trinity. But it is, and it's really the three channels, because there are many sports programs that we have on with us which would be a part of the alliance. So just FYI, Sunday, September 28th, 5 p.m. Pacific time, I will be sending invites. Let me know if you guys want, but I think it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to break down all the awards in 1 hour, and we're going to give why so-and-so should be the winner or not, and we'll talk about it. It's going to be our Major League Baseball award show. I am thinking, Brian,
yes,
and Cuervo, you guys should do a college award show for your pick as Heisman and Defensive Player of the Year. You can do conferences. You can do whatever. But I would recommend you do that, too. And, Sonny, I recommend you do an award show as well. And if you think about it, it would be on the last Sunday of the NFL season as well.
Hey,
think about that, guys.
As far as football is concerned, yeah, it would have for me to be, it would be NFL. But, yeah, there's – why not? I mean – we talk about all kinds of other things, so why not? Yeah.
Because Sunday, the last football, the last Sunday of the season, all games are played on Sunday. There's no Monday game on the very last day. So we could do this, like, late at night or near the very end, just or even on a Monday. It doesn't matter. But think about it. I think it would be awesome if we could all chime in and give in the awards. You can do them by conferences. You can do them by whatever. That's just an idea, gentlemen. So, we're down in about 15 minutes. I do want to get a little bit of baseball in there because we've already talked about quite a bit in football. I think we've got most of that. Well, you know what? Let's do one more in football, and I want to go to the big dog on this one. Roger Goodell, he really seems to be in a little bit of trouble. As far as the blogosphere is concerned, they want his head. And I want to point out again that Keith Olbermann said, you shouldn't resign. You should be fired. If you resign, that means you were in control for a little bit, but you need to be fired. You need to get the hell out of here. There is a lot of stuff, a lot of crap flying around about Roger Goodell. And while we're at the top of this wave right now, Big Dog, what is your opinion of Mr. Goodell? Should we just see the wave go through, or should he step down now, or should he be fired now? Knowing that he has a contract where he is paid $46 million a year, and if I'm not mistaken, Sonny Clark, it's like a 5-year deal?
Well, 5 years he made over 100. The last 5 years he's made over $105 million. And that's why I put him there. If I was Roger Goodell, man, I would just say, you know, I'm tired of this shit. I got $105 in the bank. I think I'm done. I don't want any more of this crap. I think I would. I just more in the fact that, you know, I'm looking at all this stuff, and yeah, I guess Roger Goodell's screwed up, but God, it's like babysitting a room full of elementary children. And that's a tough job. Like we said, the vice principal. He's the vice principal. I mean, he gets no respect. I mean, and folks, as much as you want to say about the hand down of, you know, suspensions and stuff like that, also remember, it's not 100% Roger Goodell's, you'll want of something. He still has to go through a board of directors when he makes a move like this. It's not just him arbitrarily moving his arm and saying, I'm just going to stand up and say no. No, every decision that he makes is ran by all the board of directors, which includes the owners of all the NFL teams. So it's not just Roger Goodell that should be in a lot. The owners have a lot to do with it too, because they went along with what those decisions are made. So that's just me.
All right, thank you, Big Dog. Let's go to the couch. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a couch potato. Okay, let's go to the Big Dog now.
I think Goodell should step down or get fired, as long as he's out. And by the way, if Sonny does do an award show in year, you would have the Roger Goodell Award, which, of course, would be the biggest dumbass in the NFL. But that being said,
Sonny Clark, he just gave you a new award for your tentative program, the Roger Goodell Award.
The Roger Goodell Award for being a dumbass.
Yep. He needs to be out of the NFL. You know, just like Sonny said, I mean, he's been at the helm as all this money and all this stuff has come into the NFL, where everybody has prospered like crazy. But the fact is, he's also at the helm where all these things are happening. And they need someone new. They need someone fresh up at the top of the food chain to say, you know, in a way of saying, that's going to come down hard on these guys. Kind of like Adam Silver when he took over for and the NBA and the whole Donald Sterling happened. He came down so fast and so hard that showed everyone, hey, he's not messing around. You know, we might have gotten away with it with the last guy, but we're not getting away with it with this guy. That's why the whole thing with the Atlanta Hawks is happening, you know, with Danny Ferry, you know, all that stuff that's going on right now. And
by the way, what is
right
that
away.
Story, Big Dog? And maybe I missed it and I was still asleep, but Danny Ferry stepping down, why is he stepping down? Do you know why he's stepping down?
Okay. We'll probably cover it on
Big
your
dog,
show.
Big Dog, hold on.
Yes, we
can talk about that on my show.
Big Dog, hold on. Yes, we are running out of time. We're not going to have enough time to talk about Danny Ferry right now. If that's okay with you, Sonny, and Big Dog.
Yes.
Please go to Sonny's car or Sonny's program, and then we're going to lead off with that one because I have quite a bit on that too. I'm sorry
to interrupt
you guys.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, we don't have enough time. All right,
shut
up.
That's what I said.
All right, Sonny.
That's what I said.
That was my fault. I shouldn't have went there.
Shut up. That's what I said.
Who the hell's on? Brian. Riding the crest of the wave as we are right now, Roger Goodell, what do you think? Because there's a point to this question.
Well, should he be gone, yeah, probably. But think about what happened to the ratings since Roger Goodell took over the
Absolutely.
NFL. And I mean, everybody is just on every word he says. It's all about Goodell. I've never seen a commissioner this popular, like, and hated and still being successful. I think he's tough enough in the NFL. For some reason, I want to see more of this story with Ray Rice to see what happened, but it's just going to take a lot to get him out because he's done so much for the NFL when it comes to revenue, money, man. It's all about the money, and he's
yep.
doing it. Whatever it is, he's doing it right.
Yeah, and not like the NFL is not going to bow down to what the fans want, okay? You know, you can say whatever you want. This is a bad situation regarding Hardy, Rice, and all the other situations that are going on, Adrian Peterson. That's still not going to stop people from watching on Sunday. And if he just makes the attempt to try to put something down, everybody is going to accept it and be okay with it because he's trying. The next commissioner is going to come in and is going to say, there's a new sheriff in town and be even, you know, more strict. And then the new commissioner is going to get more credit for being the more strict guy and then the fans like. So either way, this is not going to prevent the popularity of people watching football on Sunday or Monday or Thursday night.
Well, folks, right now, remember that Roger Goodell is basically the mouthpiece for the NFL.
Yep.
Nothing happens without the ownership committee. And
yep.
when Goodell meets with the disciplinary committee, it's not all the owners. It's a select group. And they all meet, go over the evidence, and make the decision. That's how it's done. But knowing what we said about Roger Goodell, Big Dog, I want to go back to Adam Silver. And we were talking about this at length, ad absurdum, ad absurdum, on how everyone wanted Stern to move. Now, it wasn't enough regarding Donald Sterling. We talk about a guy that was put in the line of fire instantly. Now looking back, how did Mr. Silver do? And I think I said Stern, so I apologize. How did Mr. Silver do, in your humble opinion, Mr. NBA guru? Basketball guru, sorry.
I think he did what everybody expected him to do, and he wanted to show because there had been a lot of talk about David Stern, that he had gotten a little soft with the owners and not enforcing a lot of the things that he wanted done. And I think Mr. Silver, the new commissioner, kind of hinted at that when he gave his announcement about Donald Sterling being banned for life. When he said, when they said, well, what about all his past things that he's done as far as Donald Sterling was concerned? And he said, well, that was the previous commissioner, or not he didn't say commissioner, but that was the previous people in charge, and for whatever reason, they had their reasons. I'm in charge now. This is what's going on. So I think he wanted to make his presence felt, and he did. I think he's done a good job. I mean, that's been really the only thing that has happened in his tenure so far up until this whole thing with the Hawks and Danny Ferry. And we need to see what's going on with that, which we'll cover on Couch's show.
And we do want to talk about that, Big Dog, and I do appreciate that. Brian, in the last few minutes that we have 3 minutes. I want to finish off with Brian right now.
You want me to transition real quick, though, scorekeeper,
yeah.
Or no?
You know what? Let's transition, and then
okay.
We'll end. And then, yeah, let's do the transition. So come on in, Sonny. Call us, and we'll do the transition, and then it'll be perfect. Brian, NBA commissioner, some of your thoughts on it? This is just, you know, thinking about where we are, knowing what's going on in the NFL. Because you know, the minute Silver said, this is what we're going to do, blah, 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 everyone was crying, and you remember I made fun of them because the first thing they said was Silver didn't do enough. And there were some of the ESPN commentators, those pussies, that were saying Silver did not do enough. All of a sudden, look at where we are, Brian. You want to share your thoughts on Mr. Silver? Is he doing well? Did he do well with the Stern situation? Tell me, brother.
Well, I think he did, and what he said, this is the NBA, we're not going to tolerate people in leadership, management, acting like this, talking like this, thinking like this, and I commend him for that. I mean, he came into a terrible situation, and he took care of business, and you know what, no more Donald Sterling, and yeah, he got his money, who cares, he's out of the NBA, and now it's happening in Atlanta, get all these racist bastards out of the league that have power and get them out. I mean, I commend him for what he's doing. The NBA, you don't see them in the news all the time, do you?
They've been very quiet for a while. And, Sonny, since we've got you back right now, we've got – okay, you know what? We're going to do the transition, but I do want to say this. I'm going to go back to Adrian Peterson. I said this on Matt Alvarez's program, and I thought it was damn funny, so I'm going to say it again. Folks, we know that Jerry Jones – is being sued by, what, a hooker? And because apparently he did some things. Yeah, 90 seconds. Thank you, whiny wench. That he did some things that were inappropriate, and he's being sued because he was messing around, and he promised to do all this stuff, and he didn't. Fine. Well, we know that Jerry Jones did speak to Adrian Peterson about joining his team. Folks, now we know it's going to happen. Because think about this.
1 minute until showtime.
Thank you, Wani Wench. Dez Bryant beats his mama. Adrian Peterson, his child. Well, Jerry Jones beats the hooker. Come on, talk about the unholy trinity. I think it's going to happen. No, not funny?
It's funny, but it's also scary funny. I hate the scary funny.
Oh,
because
thank you.
What you're saying could happen.
Well, yeah. But that was beautiful that the Big Dog did what he normally does, and he slammed me when it wasn't funny. But it is scary funny. Think about it. Adrian Peterson will be a Cowboy. And my cat is looking at me right now saying, did you just say that, you dumbass? Did you just say that? Can't believe it. The cat actually came from outside right into the studio and is just sitting there looking at me saying, did you really say that? I guess I did, folks. There it is. Let's do the transmission.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do?
Not me.
You can tell us what to wear.
I'm wearing shorts. It's cold outside.
You think that you're better?
I'm better than the FBI.
Well, you better get ready.
Yeah, that's right.
Bow to the masses. Break it down.
Faster.
as we are outfit. We took the transition from Sports Talk with the guys home at the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday, and then like Adrian Peterson, we did not fumble the transition, and we'll go ahead and bring in the guys this morning here. Of course, as Sports Talk with the guys is good, they gave me a break. I had to wake up as everything, but for a Saturday morning, you know, bringing in the scorekeeper here on a Saturday morning. I'm glad that everybody's here. So Big Dog and the scorekeeper, you know, along with us here on a Saturday morning. Got to get their intros. Good morning, gentlemen. How is it going, you guys?
Good
and
morning,
you guys
Spencer
are
Clark.
Up there. Is that?
Yeah. It's just the music was there, and we didn't want to talk over the music. The Big Dog is joining me. I believe Brian may be calling in your program right now, so we don't have him on.
Yep.
But we want to thank you for the transition, Sonny Clark. We wake you up, and, of course, you bring it home, pal. There's a lot of stuff that we covered this morning, and there's more that we'd like to cover now. Do you want to get to it?
Yep. Well,
Big Dog.
We would be amiss. We would be amiss, though. We got to bring in the good old boy himself down there in GA. And by the way, we're going to discuss some stuff that is happening down in good old GA. It is Ryan Tarpin from Weigh-In Sports Talk on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How's everything going? Thanks for having
me. Doing good. Glad that you made the jump over here here on a Saturday morning. But let's shoot this back to the scorekeeper and the Big Dog. Go ahead. Roll with the punches.
I appreciate that, Sonny. I want to go to the Big Dog because he is our basketball guru and he knows quite a bit. Big Dog, ready to go on Danny Ferry and what he – well, why don't you go for it?
Well, Danny Ferry has taken a leave of absence due to what he has said over a conference call that was done, I guess, a few months ago. And, of course, that was comments that were made, like I said, on a conference call. And what it was about Luol Dieng, who was a free agent, and he was talking to others, I guess, the trainers and coaches and stuff. And what he had said, now, before I read what he was quoted as saying, the NBA has already ruled that what I'm about to say, according to the NBA, is not a fireable offense. So they're saying that he cannot be fired for this comment. And this is what was said about Luol Dieng. He said that, let me find exactly where he is. I don't want to get it wrong. Okay, this was a scouting report. He said that Dieng, quote, has a little African in him, not in a bad way, but he's like a guy who would have a nice store out in front but sells you counterfeit stuff out the back door. And Ferry also reported as saying that Dieng was two-faced. So that comment has got him in, of course, a ton of hot water. And but this is the only thing. Now, I'm not going to defend him, but after this was brought to the forefront, everybody has been going through all his emails and correspondences and stuff, and they said they've gone through over 24,000 documents and conducted over 9 interviews, and they said this is the only instance that he has ever said anything that could be construed as racist. So I don't know if it was a one-time thing. I don't know where he got it from. You know, I mean, we're all sports people in our respective specialties. We all know that a scouting report is not going to have that written down on paper in this day and age. So
Yes. This
has to have come from him. Even though he said he was reading a scouting report, you know, he either heard this or whatever, but we know I can almost guarantee that it was not written down on a piece of paper and he was reading it off of someone's scouting report. I know that. So this is his, I guess, feelings of Luol Dieng that he's heard. And, you know, as of right now, this was a while ago, this came to the forefront, and now he has stepped down. He's taking an indefinite leave of absence, and, the chips are falling where they may right now. So, you know,
And this is, Big Dog, and this is amidst the owner with the racist remarks at the same time. So you got a double whammy going on down there in Atlanta.
Yes, he's the majority owner. And, okay, Brian, scorekeeper, and yourself, Sonny, have you read that email that the owner sent out where he stepped out?
Yes.
No, I have not read it. I only have heard what was said, and from what I heard and stuff.
Because if you read the actual email, and the one I read was, I guess he was sending it out to, I guess, the other minority owners and maybe GMs and stuff like that. And it was sent over a phone. The pictures were screenshots from a phone. And it was the entire email. If you read it and you think like an owner, now I'm not defending what he's saying, but if you read
right.
it, he is only stating facts of why the Atlanta Hawks aren't doing well. He never said a bad thing about blacks. He just stated facts. And the only thing that was a little where he got a little off topic, I will agree, is when he said that, you know, there's only black cheerleaders and they only play hip-hop and the Kiss Cam is mainly black. That might have been about the only part. But the other stuff that he was talking about, saying that they can't get the corporate sponsorship, that they're not getting the season ticket holders, because the demographic for that is the 25 to 45-year-old white male. That is the demographic across the NBA. And
right.
as he says, they're mainly getting single game ticket buyers, and the majority of them, he said something like 75 or 80% of those are black. And those aren't the people, unfortunately, that buy season tickets. So he's stating it from a business standpoint as of why they're not making money. And if you read the entire email, you know, you're going through that, and you're like, okay, it's not really racist, but it could be construed by certain people. And let us not forget, guys, he blew the whistle on himself, because I guess the other people ran and said, hey, you know, what did you mean by this? And I guess he went through and read it, and he was like, oh, damn, this could be – people could misunderstand what I mean. So he brought it to the NBA himself. And because of that saying, because of what happened with Donald Sterling, because of what's happening here or, you know, what's happening in the NFL or wherever, I should hold myself to higher standards. So you know what? I'm selling my ownership shares because I shouldn't have said those things the way I did. So, I kind of tip my hat off to him for blowing the whistle on himself.
He just wanted to sell, guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's going to make a shitload of money because of the whole Donald Sterling sale with the Clippers. So he was probably saying, you know what, I'm bleeding money like crazy off this Atlanta Hawks team. People are misinterpreting my email. You know what, this is a perfect example for me to get out of this and make some money. So, you know, he's in it for himself.
Here's the thing. He called himself out, and I think that's what gives the underlying tone of what you were just saying about him just, you know, wanting to sell. He called himself out. So he in turn makes himself look like a bad guy, but the simple fact of the matter is, now, that goes back to the value of this franchise, okay? The L.A. market is so much different than the Atlanta market, but I still think that he gets at least a billion, if not 1.5. But I think I would lean toward the billion more than 1.5. He's not going to get 2 billion, but hey, man, that's a lot of, as the scorekeeper says, that's a lot of quan in your pocket.
Gentlemen, first of all,
out of context, really, guys, this is nothing like Donald Sterling. These guys, to me, did nothing wrong. I mean, and you know, Sterling, I'm
exactly
glad to ask for what he did. But these guys didn't do anything wrong, and everything they said was true. Luau Deng does have a little African-American in him, or whatever. he's not, because the thing is, true black players can play basketball for the most part. This guy has a lot of white in him. If you look at him on the court, that's all it was saying. I mean, that's what they meant. I mean, who cares, right?
Well,
who cares,
but at the same time, we got to remember, as much as we're kind of giggling about this, you know, because what do they always say about comedians, okay? The things that are real And they're funny. And that's what makes a comedian funny, because they're real. And now, the statements may be factual and stuff, but you also got to put yourself in that position where you, you know, now you can't, I mean, the world, I mean, if there is any industry where the world is changing and it's slapping you in the face that it is, it's the sports industry. Okay, you can say whatever you want about what's still going on down in Atlanta, and that could be the dirty little secret of that it still goes on down in Atlanta. But guess what? The world is trying. It'll never change fast enough. But in the industry of sports, what they're saying, it is inexcusable for a big time industry to be this way. So knock it off. At least publicly, anyway, and that's what's ended up happening. There's a scorekeeper, but what we were talking about, the difference between what Danny Ferry said and the owner, those are two different things, and Danny Ferry has got to be smarter than that. And if he actually, I agree with Big Dog, there's nowhere that this is written down up on a scouting report anywhere. No one's that stupid. The only time you become stupid is when you start interjecting your own personal beliefs instead of just covering facts. And when he threw in his personal belief, that is the reason why he is in trouble. Not because it would have been really easy. This is the only thing he would have had to say. Is I don't know if I trust Luol Deng to be a good person for our basketball team, and he would have been done. But no, he had to interject a little bit more of how he feels deep down, and that's what's getting his ass in trouble. He's a scorekeeper.
All right, folks. First of all. Yes, it is written on scouting reports, and let me tell you why it's written on scouting reports. Everyone has to file a report, and it's written, all right? Let me finish. They're written, they're turned in, they all talk about them, and then you get an executive report, which summarizes each individual report, and that's what he is given. So let me tell you, if Danny Ferry says he was reading off a report, the report exists. And we will know who wrote it. And it will be one of two. It will be the report the scout did, or scout, the executive report, which summarizes. This is, guys, they're corporate. We know how they operate. So if it is written, which it probably is, which most likely it is, it's there. If there's inflammatory comments, as he suggests, it is and will be written. Now, if he is adding, as all of you suppose or suggest, then it's going to be very easy to prove right away. Show the scouting reports, kids. Show them. Let's see the scouting reports. If he was reading from a scouting report, it exists. And this is why I'm telling you that if they do show a scouting report, it has the name of the person or persons that wrote the scouting reports. You see what I'm saying? If he says he was reading from the scouting report, we will know who it is. And let me tell you something, guys. That whole thing of he has some African in him, make no bones about it. That is racist in every sense of the word.
Hugely.
No bones about it. No.
See, I guess I didn't see it like that. I mean, when I read it, it means like he's a white player in a way. To me, when I read that, like, you know, white players suck mostly in the NBA. I think that's what he meant. Even though he's black, he doesn't play like it. And I mean, and that's me reading it. Everybody can interpret it different. I didn't read it as an insult to the African American race. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's double, guys. You're talking about Luol Deng. To say he has some African in it. Well, wait a minute. What is he? And then you're saying, it may not look like it, but he actually does have a little bit in him. A little bit of what? He didn't say courage. He didn't say poise. He said African in him. And I'm about to lose my job here on Sports Talk with the Guys. But when you tell someone that, And when you're talking about in sports, you know what is being said.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to state
it's the
more
underlining,
obvious.
It's the underlining tone of the comment, which is what people, you know, just like what Tarvin said, he may not have thought that, but really, you know, yes, we're trying to interpret what is being said, but at the same time, what we're trying to interpret, it may not have been quote unquote meant to be that way, but it's how it can be interpreted by other people. Hell, I just ran into that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll give you an
how
example.
How can you bring culture in it, Sonny? Why do you
exactly,
bring race
that's what
into
I'm saying.
It? Why
exactly.
do you bring race into it when you're talking about someone? And guys, the hot button issue is this. You're talking about a black athlete. In and of
yep.
itself, right there, what are black athletes known for? Being athletes.
Jumping ability.
Yes, and that's it. And that's why it is derisive in every which way. It
so,
is derisive.
So, Roger, if it had said Lou Aldane has too much Caucasian in him, would it be a big deal?
I think it would
no
be.
No one would make that statement. That's the point, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, scorekeeper, correct me if I'm wrong. No one would say, well, he's got too much. You see, and that's. I will sit and listen. Listen, this is real simple. I listen to some of the athletes who are of the African descent, okay? Sit on national television and say this. And this happens all the time. In basketball, it's where it's happening. And Charles Barkley's guilty of it. A lot of black commentators are guilty of it. Is that they'll say he plays like a white guy. And I'm sorry that even though we can't say he plays like a black guy, you can't turn around and say he plays like a white guy. I mean, so if it's going to be that one for the other, that's the way it's got to be.
And guys,
yeah,
that is racist.
But it's not.
If that's racist right there when they say he plays like a white guy. What
yeah,
the, are you?
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's a double standard.
Yeah.
It's a double standard.
But it is racism in every sense. That's why when you say African, you're talking about the spear chucker line, guys. When you're saying
yep.
African,
that's,
that is derisive in every which way. What are blacks
yep.
known for? Being athletes. That's why I don't like the word athleticism. And guys. Just like spear chucker, athleticism is a racist word, and I'll tell you why. Tell you why. Look at the combine next time, and look at when you're talking about drafting players. The word athleticism is never used with white players, and it's never used with Hispanic players, and it's never used with Asian players. It's only
that's one of the things. It's And they get away with it too.
Well, I know I'm athletic as hell, guys.
Well, you're athletic. What's athleticism? Who the hell made up that BS word? Athleticism. That's like pocket presence. Come on. Seriously, guys, think about it. Think about all the times. When have you heard a white man or a white athlete or someone who's perceived to be white? And they say he has athleticism.
I don't
think about
recall.
That, guys. Yeah, I don't either. And I'm thinking about that right now. I've never heard of any of a Latin player saying he has athleticism or a Chinese player. An Asian player. Never. But when you're talking about black players, it's athleticism. And athleticism equates to that ugly word that I just used, the phrase, and the other ugly word of having African in it. Why do you even say that?
Well, you hear it a lot in football, Roger, like talking about the dual threat quarterback and everything, and what they say is you need an athlete at quarterback, and what they mean is you need an African-American player to play quarterback to be able to run. You don't hear them talking about white players running, being dual threat quarterbacks. It's all about the black quarterback.
Wow, Brian, I never understood that, and that's interesting. You know, when Doug Williams won the Super Bowl, I remember the derisive comments about him, but remember, let's go back to 1987, Nightline, when Ted Koppel was interviewing the general manager for the Dodgers, and he used that phrase, and Koppel couldn't believe he did, and he kept it going, and he just shot himself. Bavasi was the general manager. And what did he say?
Yep.
They didn't have the, oh, I can't remember, Big Dog. Do you remember what he said?
Something about the Blacks don't have the intelligence to run a team or something or other. Something to that effect.
It wasn't the intelligence. It was implied as such, but he didn't. It was like the it was that word. It begins with an E, and use that word. And they didn't have whatever it was, and that was implied about Doug Williams, and it's been implied over other players. They don't have the stuff to be general managers. And it's insulting. Was he telling the truth? Well, go back, guys. See for yourself. Was he telling this, or was he telling his opinion? He got fired instantly. But now, guys,
yep.
This thing with Danny Ferry, it's simple. If he was reading the report, it's there. It's there.
Well, no,
if
but
he wasn't,
wait a second. Scorekeeper, just really quick. What you just said. If he was reading off the, how come we haven't seen it yet? This is a story that has been going on now for 2 days. How come no one has seen that report?
I got it. I have the report. I will post it for you guys right now. I've been looking for that one particular section. And it is
there
exactly, it is exactly like Scorekeeper said. Everybody has. It's. Let me just read it. They, of course, blacked out the names. But it says 2013-2014 front office not available. I guess this was formed by such, the person they blacked it out on June the 6th. It says, from a physical that we got from Chicago, we had to run him into the ground. We tried to correctly manage it from when we got him. People said he's worn down, but I disagree, and I think there's more left in his body. He's a good guy on the cover, but he's an African. He has a little two-step in him. Says what you like to hear, but behind closed doors, he could be killing you. The con isn't bad, but it's there. African-like, storefront looks great, but there's a black market section in the back. Chicago thought he was good for their culture, but as an outliner, it's kind of blurry. Teammates liked him.
Oh, my God.
But he was yes.
Post that in
yes.
the chat room, please. Guys,
okay.
Typical. Look at who's talking about this. Brian, Sonny Clark, Roger Noriega, and Peter Gama. No one else is talking about it because no one else, quite frankly, is smart enough to talk about it. Because
there you go,
we're
guys.
Spending time to hash it out, guys. We're taking the time to take it phrase by phrase. And let me tell you, what Big Dog just read, that is not what is being reported as what he said.
Right.
You have to
exactly.
audio thing. And there was something else that he said. After he read it, he said, uh-oh, this is probably going to be on TMZ tomorrow. He immediately said that because he was reading it and he knew how inflammatory it was. So, okay, Big Dog, who else has gotten the scouting report, folks? No one else but the Big Dog. ESPN doesn't
and you know,
have it because they're too stupid to even think about it.
And it wasn't that hard to find.
What was that?
Well, here's the thing.
It was 2 clicks.
Yeah, 2 clicks. Well, no. I will tell you right now, there is widespread to get to people who... They're just not listening. It's the same thing that happened when here in Dallas, where the owner of the Mavericks, Mark Cuban, made a statement. And what he made the statement is they only heard what they heard, and they went at it with the racist, you know, tone immediately.
Yeah.
They didn't listen to what Mark Cuban said. They heard. And instead of intellectually taking apart what they said, it went automatically to racist. Okay? And that's one of the
yeah.
things that's one of the problems. You know, you look at Danny Ferry. Now, Should he have been smart enough to read it out loud? I guess. I don't know. But I know I know as soon as I got to that part, I would say, listen, I'm not saying this. I'm not even going to look at this gallery report as valid.
Sonny, hold on. Someone needs to lower the volume on their computer.
That slipped. I apologize.
Okay. Don't worry about it. Okay, we're good now. Sorry.
You know what, Brian? Go get a switch right now. Go get a switch. We're going to teach you how to use it.
That is me. I apologize.
You got a lot of good ones down there in Atlanta, too.
I hate when people call in my show and they're listening to the damn show while they're calling or they're watching TV, and that really drives me crazy. So my apologies. Don't kill me, Roger.
No, not at all. I didn't even say it that way. Just I can hear it. Someone needs to lower their volume. That's all. So, guys.
You're a hell of a lot nicer than I am when you say it.
If you guys have your computer, it is on page 2 of the scouting report. And it is the second, third. It looks like it's the fourth one down, and it's dated June the 6th. And it's from the front. It says from front office. So that is where all the controversy is coming from this little paragraph. But it is on page 2 of the scouting report.
Notice how they blacked out the names of the people who wrote the report. Love that.
Yeah.
But
that's fine, Sonny. But now we know, and guess what? We can now go for the kill and say, okay, who is on the scouting? Who's the scout for the Hawks? This is easy, guys. And I guess we're the ones leading this because no one else is. Who is listed on the scouting staff for the Hawks? Email them, call them, and say, there's a report, page 2. Did you have anything to do with this report? And if they say no comment, okay, that's one. Go to the next guy. Yeah, I did, but, you know, this was what everyone said. Okay, thank you very much for being honest. Next guy. And you go by what they say. And then after that, you say, okay, well, so-and-so said this. What is your comment on this? You go for the kill, but they're too stupid. This is how you solve it. And you get all the scouting guys to say, I was a part of that report, but I had nothing to do with it. And who did?
Yeah, and that's easy. And like Scorekeeper said, that's easy to figure out. But it is not Danny Ferry. So that whole situation that's going on. Now, we go back to the fact, should he have been smart enough not to read it? I mean, seen where it was going. Yeah, probably. But those are not his words. He's repeating something else that is being said. So instead of jumping on Danny Ferry for being a racist, okay, how about jump on the guy who wrote the report? He just not smartingly
No. Sonny, don't fire the senior clerk because he's only writing the report.
Well, wherever the information comes from, you're right. But, hey, and I'll give Stephen A. credit, and I don't like doing that. Stephen A. Smith, I don't like giving him credit, but one thing that he says, okay, and this is me saying what Stephen A. said, okay? So it's not me making the statement. Stephen A. said that black folk, and that's how he put it, not me, black folks have the tendency to jump immediately to the race when they hear the words, but not the context. And that's what you have to do when you look at this right here. It's simple. And if you want to hold Danny Ferry accountable for maybe he should have been smart enough not to read it, that's fine. But he didn't say those words. And it's unfair to him, but yet, as a professional, he's going to go ahead and bite the bullet. And let's just be honest, who knows if Danny Ferry would have that job after they sell that franchise anyway. So maybe this was another thing. Well, I'm going to bite the bullet and get out, and maybe someone like NDB Media and Sports Talk with the Guys will pick up on the fact that I'm not the racist here. And maybe sooner or later my reputation will be, you get a little vindiction against the fact that I didn't say those words. That was done by someone else, and people will take that at face value. I think that's what he's trying to do.
It could be. Just to clear it up also, I remember Scorekeeper just real quickly had asked where is he from. He was originally born in the South Sudan, but he was raised in England. So he is actually considered a British professional basketball player. That's how he's listed. But he was born in the South Sudan, but raised
okay.
in England.
So, guys, this is even more racist than anything. They're saying he's from Africa.
It's ridiculous. I'm reading
he's
this.
White.
This is...
Yes, that's why. It's even worse. But look, okay, let me finish my thoughts, and then you guys own in on this one, too. Think about this. Danny Ferry was in a conference call with everyone, and he was reading it. And he read it, and when you listen, his thing is like, oh, shit. Oh, this is probably going to be on TMZ tomorrow. And he reacts like he just read it for the first time. And I said earlier, where was his assistant that was supposed to press
mm-hmm.
him for the meeting? Where's his assistant? Here's my last thought, guys. Two. When Danny Ferry says what he did, management is on the conference call with him. And when he makes his statement about TMZ, the others chuckle. Was it because it was going to be on TMZ or because of what he said was going to be on TMZ and they found that funny? Guys, an off-color joke is not laughed at unless you think it's funny.
Yes.
And they were laughing.
Exactly.
And you can hear it on the audio tape that they were laughing. So what was funny? That an African, that a guy has some African in him? Or as, oh, shit, this is going to be on TMZ tomorrow. What were they laughing at? Or were they laughing at both? Wow, guys.
This is
bad. Danny Ferry's just unlucky.
He is unlucky. But don't forget, though, this was a conference call from a while back. It's not like it just happened. I believe it was like a month ago that this happened. And the way we're assuming is that this was the first time he's ever seen it, and he was just reading off the paper. That's not true because he did not read it word for word. He gave his opinion on what he read. Because remember when I read it, guys, it said he's a good guy on the cover, but he's an African. He has a little two-step in him, and it says equals. Says what you like to hear, but behind closed doors could be killing you. Con isn't bad, but it's there. African-like storefront looks great, but there is a black market section in the back. Now, what Danny Ferry says, is he's got some African in him, and I don't mean that in a bad way, other than he's a guy that may make side deals behind you, if that makes sense. It's like he has a storefront out front that's beautiful and great, but maybe he's selling some counterfeit stuff behind you. So it's not like he was reading it word for word. He had read it earlier and made notes to himself.
Okay, big dog.
That's what he wrote down, or from what he's trying to remember that he read.
Let me ask Brian and Sonny this. Let me ask Brian first. Danny Ferry said he's got some African in him, and I don't mean that in a bad way. What the F is that?
How about
African, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Wait a minute. I have African in me. What's bad about that? We all have African. Do you know why, you dumb, stupid mother effer Danny Ferry? We all have African in us because we all came from the Rift Valley in Africa, you stupid, illiterate, dumb mother effer. We all have it in us. So what is Danny Ferry saying? He's got some African in him, and I don't mean
he was trying to choose his words. He was trying because everybody, you know, you say anything out about a black person or anything, obviously it's racial. So what he was saying, he's making a compliment to this person maybe. I don't know. I'm just guessing and didn't want anybody to think that he's trying to bring this in a negative connotation or something. I don't know, but I just don't think Danny Ferry's a racist, guys.
I mean, I just called him a dumb mother effer.
People are taking it as a
I don't think he's racist.
I love Roger.
The only thing he's guilty of is being an idiot and not thinking about what he was reading first. That's about the only thing I think he's guilty of. I don't think he's a racist either. He was just reading what he had read earlier, and was paraphrasing. So,
I would be fired at work if I said something like that, big dog. If I made a comment,
it's a backhanded compliment,
like that,
is what it is.
I would be fired. I mean, there's no doubt. Here in Atlanta, I'd be fired. I'd be on the damn news. And it's bad in Atlanta. Like it's a little different than in California, guys. I mean, racism still exists here. We're in the South, and man, it's bad. If you go to a Hawks game, you'll see you're a minority. If you're a white person, if you're a Hispanic person or whatever, and the music there is not Garth Brooks singing, it's other music. So I mean, it's not a very great place to be. And some people, believe it or not, guys, they don't feel safe when they're in an environment like that. I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but that's how people are people. They feel what they feel.
Yep. And that's exactly what the majority owner of the Hawks said in his email. He was just stating facts, just like Brian is. He's just stating facts. They didn't come out.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first heard it, I thought, yes.
Okay, big dog, hold on a minute. He was stating facts about the sales, yes. But what did he say about the cheerleaders?
Okay, I said that earlier. Yes, that's when he got a little bit off topic, saying that all black cheerleaders, and that they need to have more white cheerleaders there to attract the demographic that needs to be there. Makes the money.
And that's true. And that's true, though. If you
think
about it, like, white men like to see, I mean, the majority. I mean, I'm not talking about everybody because I'm one of those people. I don't give a damn what color you are. If you got a hot body, I'm there, I mean, I don't care. But, some people are.
Hey, I don't discriminate against sexy.
I do not. There's no doubt I've been with every race known to man, probably. And, it's nothing with me, but. But if you see a bunch of these corporate America people with season tickets that go take their clients out, that's all he's talking about. How are you going to raise the season tickets? Did they go about it the wrong way? Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like the way they were talking. They didn't have to say it the way they did, and that's why they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And when you're in a position of leadership like that, you have to be careful how you say things. Shit. I mean, it's just common.
Exactly. Sense. Yeah, this is not
Bart,
a day and age. Listen, people carry recorders with them. I do it all the time, and there's a reason why I do it. I carry a recorder, and I was telling Scorekeeper that's not more than a couple of months ago. I carry a recorder with me. So when someone wants to say I said something, I can go, no, here's the recording. People do that, and I do it. Why? I do it out of complete protection for myself, not because I don't want anybody to say what I said. Well, no. Here's the conversation right here. So it's more than the fact that this goes back to a simple thing. You can't trust anybody about anything that you say, because it can get turned around and stated in a different way. Well, he said this, he said that. Well, he may have said that, but the context of what it's coming out, you got to remember the context. And that's the reason why whenever I'm in a situation and I'm amongst people, whether it's talking business or anything else like that, I record my conversations, because there is absolutely no way that I'm going to be held accountable for someone saying I said something when I got proof that I didn't. And that's what this world's coming to. Know what? You can't trust anybody, and that's sad.
But hold on a minute, Sonny. I know the big dog. I know you, and I know Brian. And I've had personal conversations with all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of Brian, we've had personal conversations. He has never said anything racist or even close to coming across as being racist. Not even close.
Exactly.
And when we've had personal conversations, you, Sonny Clark, the same thing. Big Dog doesn't have a racist bone in his body. You've never even come close. And yet you get other guys
that are in the business, allegedly,
yep.
this business, and they're saying things that are even close to being questionable. Hold on a minute here. I've heard Brian many times on air, and he said some strong stuff, and yet you would never mistake it as being racist. You same thing, Sonny, and Big Dog same thing. So
yep.
I don't understand if someone were to say, well, you have to listen to what Brian said, and he said something that was out of context. Brian would never be in that spot because he doesn't even speak in that manner. And yet some
well,
people
yep.
inherently do. And why?
Yep.
Why? You're in the business, you can get caught. The
because
owner
they
of the
got
office,
trust in the wrong people.
Wait, hold on a minute. Sonny, then you're saying I can say racist things, but I just have to be trusting
no.
of people. All right.
No, no, no. No, 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 no. No. Trusting that you're not stupid. Okay? That's what I mean. And I knew that's where you're going. That's why I said trusted people. Trusting the people that you're around are not stupid. Okay? There's a big difference. Okay? Like you said, you know, whether conversations are, you know, whatever the case may be, if you're an idiot, the first thing you do is you listen to part of this show and you say, what a bunch of racists. But if you're intellectual and smart, you listen to the show and realize that that's not what's going on. So that's the reason. Yeah, I mean, and that's what goes back to what Stephen A. Smith said. People who want to call, and this also goes to the the eager reporter who wants to get something out there before they have the full facts on something. They'll run with what they got, and that's the difference between today's journalism and the journalism back in the 70s. They just hear something, and then they think that's news, and they put it in a blog or it gets out to where everybody can hear it, and boom, boom, boom. Then all of a sudden people are accounting for what they've said, and that's some of the things that are happening today. People don't listen. And because they're too quick to jump to the conclusion that anything that is said, a certain race, everything that's said about them is racist. And that's the problem with today's society. It's not just because you're talking about it doesn't make it racist.
And you know, guys, deliberately, I go out of my way to get people to pay attention. And how do I do it?
Yes.
Yes. I use colorful metaphors. And yes, I use terms that people can say, hey, that's racist. I said, really? Is it really? Or is it you in wanting to interpret that?
That's
and
it.
I've been called a racist numerous times. I was called a racist several weeks ago for what I said. I said, hey, you know what? It's funny. And Danny Ferry, I didn't call him a racist. I called him a stupid mother effer many times. That's a fact. That's what I called him. I never called Danny Ferry a racist. And I don't think anyone here is going to call him a racist. But, guys, when you have people that are writing that stuff down in scouting reports, I don't understand how there's any good that comes in out of that. This is a professional organization, and they use the word, he's got some African in him. Wow. Wow. And no one cleaned up that report, and that's what made the executive report? Wow.
I'm sitting here reading this. As we're talking, I'm sitting here reading this, and I can't believe that. Haven't we changed? That's why I hope sooner or later the younger generation gets in charge. Because the younger generation I'm telling you right now, the younger generation from when I was a younger generation, people could say, hey, so when Sonny was in the younger generation right now, and maybe it's me, I don't know, but where I live here in Texas, first of all, they don't care if you're black, white, or purple, you know, the younger generation. They don't care if you're gay. They don't care if you're bisexual. They don't give a crap. You know, and sooner or later, I hope those, that thinking can just widespread. We just got to kill off, we just got to kill off some of the people that just continually think this way, I guess. And someone else said that, and they got in a lot of trouble when they said it. But it's true. I mean, once all the people who think that way, now the new generation can teach their kids, because evidently there is, you know, a lack of education on how to teach your kid. A kid who's 3 and 4 years old, okay, wants to play. They don't care if they're playing with a black child. They don't care if they're playing with a Chinese child. They just want to play. I mean,
oh my God, guys, Sonny, look at this report again. And oh my God, they marked it out, but they didn't do a very good job of marking it out. Holy crap. When you put this on magnify, you can see some of the names. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, my God. Guys, go to your computers and put it on magnify.
I'm looking at some of the names. What one are you talking about? I'll start magnifying. I'm at 200% because I'm blind.
On page 5, yes. Guys, go to it right now. This is breaking news right now. On page 5, it starts at the very top, 6-16-2014, on 10-11-2012. Look down. Okay, look to the right. Currently, 76ers staff member and something. There's something there. Drop down to the next one.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. Scorekeeper.
Okay,
I see it.
Bulls, and then secondly, the Bulls. And then now drop down. Okay, that's first paragraph, second, third, fourth. 2011-2012 teammate, not applicable. Former something, I can't
really
make it out.
Video coordinator.
Oh, my God.
Coordinator.
Now listen. In that first paragraph, it says, Cleveland because and Dish don't get along.
I'm downloading this.
Oh, my God,
I'm downloading this.
The names are
Hold
here.
On Save file. Yeah, it's sitting right there. You're right. Hold on 1 second. Lou Aldang, okay,
now,
I just saved
them,
it to my desktop. I don't want people to take this thing off because you're right. You can see right. Secondly, the Bulls told him not to give the surgery to the wrist.
Sonny, will you email that to me, please? btarvin2000@yahoo.com.
No.
Big Dog, you are a genius, but do you see what I'm talking about here? You can see in some parts, guys.
You
they
can
black
see
it.
It
out.
You're right. See, I
they
thought they could see
it,
but I thought it was my eyes because I don't have my glasses on.
The Big Dog scored on this, and all credit goes to the Big Dog and Sonny Clark. I think the Big Dog and I are going to hang up at this point. I'm going to invite the Big Dog to call into the program. But, guys, Big Dog, he got the report, and they didn't do a good job of blacking it out. Holy crap.
No, they didn't.
Holy crap.
Hey, Tarvin, I will send this to you via Facebook.
Brian, okay. Get on your Facebook page. Put it out. Copy it. I'm going to do it right now. Guys, this is huge. The names are
listed.
It is. No one is doing
the
homework.
You just,
no
one
are you
is
putting
looking
this on my
hard
Facebook,
enough. Brother. I'm sending it right now. I'm adding it right now. Hold on, I gotta just find it so I can put it into your Facebook. This is great. If you have an PDF, you need the PDF, and then you need to start magnifying it so you can see HIJKLL Lou Aldang. Hold on, where is it? There it is.
Well, it's gonna be awesome when y'all break this and everything. Blog Talk Radio flunkies over here. Nobody knows anything, and then
no one knows. No, I just sent it to you. You just got to download it. I sent it to Roger, Brian, and Mario. So this is very interesting. Magnify.
Big Dog has it right now. I think we're gonna continue to do this program, but as we do it, let's see the names that we can pull out of here. And, wow. Okay, now understand, I've already been looking through this PDF file. Some of them are newspaper articles that they pulled. But, guys, when you look at the very beginning of this report, and I think that's what the Big Dog was looking at, it is page 1. This is what is written, guys. And this is what people need to understand, why I am incensed by this. Okay, it's really blacked out. It's The Telegraph. These are articles, September 5th, 2008, by so-and-so. So I think we can actually find this. Team GB's Llewellyn Vang Rice NBA tournament is nothing short of a tall story. He introduces himself shyly, offering a hand the size of a laptop computer. Oh, that's offensive. It should have been a desktop. What a jerk. No bling, no attitude. Guys, no bling, no attitude, no noise, and attention-seeking. Holy crap.
This is really a horrible... This is...
There are no attendants rushing around.
Unbelievable.
You know what we call that? Posse. And no loud music pumping in the background. There is just Luol Deng, one of the simplest but most complex sportsmen in the world. Deng 23 is the new star of the NBA. It's hard to overstate the esteem in which this man is held. He has replaced Michael Jordan as the iconic face of the Bulls after signing a $71 million contract. Okay? But that first paragraph, they're saying, hey, guys, these are the attention getters. They're saying, this is not your typical... Should I say it? Should I say it right here? This is not your typical black ass. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
This is not your typical black ass.
Hey, Sonny, can you email that?
There's
no posse. I can't open it.
What was that, Brian?
Will you email that to me? I can't open it.
Sure. Hold on one second.
Tarvin,
hey,
No.
Put it in the Facebook there. Your email.
I did.
Okay. And give me 2 seconds, and I will send that over to you via the email. But wow, forget what Danny Ferry said. I mean, if you read this, if you want to be outraged. I mean, if you're that kind of person, you would be outraged if you read that. This is really, and I'm going to make a statement of what my brother said, and he wasn't meaning it in a way, but I want you to think about what he said. He said, it's very profitable to be a racist in the NBA. Now, he didn't mean that, but you get what he's trying to say when he makes a statement like that. This is really simple. The owner of the Atlanta Hawks wants out. I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean, he didn't need to bring up what he did. He brought it out. He's going to sell the team. He's going to make $1 billion, okay? And then he gets away from that, and then he can go live his life on what he's going to do and take the money. And in other words, take the money and run. So he's going ahead. He's taking the money and running. He calls himself out, so he ends up later looking like a good guy, but yet he's got all the money in his pocket. So everything ends up to being really good for him. So when you look at how that whole thing is being handled, you can say hey, scorekeeper, you can almost say he's being a genius at the same time. And, getting out. I mean, if money is the only thing that's important to you, guess what? He's a genius. He figured out a way to make a lot of it and make it. And not only that, scorekeeper, make it quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. What?
Sorry. Big Dog, we need to finish. My phone's going to go. We're going to call back in. Are you still available, Big Dog?
Cool.
Call in? Okay, Sonny, put us on hold. We're going to call you back in about a minute and a half, all right? We're going to finish up our program.
All right. You got it. He's going to finish up over there. He is the scorekeeper.
Okay, we put him on hold. Big Dog, oh, my God, are you seeing what I pointed out right now? Big Dog? Okay, maybe not. All right, we're going to finish up this program right now.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I didn't know I was on mute. I can see what you're saying, but I'm wondering, though, on the people that we can read the names of, was it a bad scouting report or not? I mean, was it an inflammatory scouting report? Because, when you were reading when you couldn't read the name.
Okay, right. But there are some names listed here, and that's the news. No one is looking at that, and we're going to go for it. A lot of them are blacked out, but the point is that they're referring to other teams that also made comments. Holy boy. So we're going to let people go as they want with this big dog, and congratulations to you for finding that report. Took two clicks, and, well, nothing personal, but congratulations to me who put it on Magnify because I could see the name. I do this all the time, big dog. I'm a senior clerk. I have to find what people do. And when they black it out, I'm like, turn the page over. Okay, I can't see it. All right. They actually, oh, folks, by the way, if you're going to black something out, you do it once in one way, another way. Then you write over it. Then you black it out again. And then you go on the backside and you black it out. Stupid idiot.
They didn't do a very good job on this big dog. There's a lot that can be read. So, but anyway. We're going to finish up this program. We're going to go over to the Cash Potato. Hopefully we can have you over there, folks. If you want to continue, the number is 347-215-7497. We're on the verge of a massive story here, and we're going with it. And where was it? It was right here on the Cash Potato Sports Program, brought to you by the Big Dog, made clear by the scorekeeper, and ran home by the Brian and the Cash Potato. Love you, Big Dog. Way to go. Am I overreacting?
You're just happy.
Am I? Just a tad? All right.
Just a tad happy.
Oh, happy. No, but am I overreacting?
Meh.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Go get yourself a cup of coffee. We're out of here. See you on the other side, big dog.
In a minute.
We are done. We're going over the cap potato, and here we go. We need Bob Shepherd, please. Bob, where are you? Come on. Bob? Bob? And we're out of here. Peace.